Hello, what's up, Rich? I'm back. Thank you for hanging in there with some terrible audio quality last week on my end. I do appreciate it, but now we're back in action. Today we're talking about High Rocks. We're talking about High Rocks for the North American Championship in particular. We got some awesome races lined up. We talk about how we think it's going to play out. We make a little bit of predictions, and we just go deep on these athletes in the High Rocks space. So if you enjoyed the North American, the European side of things, and you're excited about this race, you will very much enjoy this episode. And we just, you know, talk about the normal stuff that we typically talk about on normal race brain podcast episodes. So let's just get right into it. We got Bracken, Jack, Kirk, whole squad here today. Let's do it.
I can't do it.
We're in the middle of a real conversation that people need to hear about. We're talking about off-leash dogs for runners. Unacceptable. No.
It is unacceptable. Thing. Have any of you – okay, so the reason this came up, guys, because I almost got attacked this morning in the dark. I was telling the boys I couldn't sleep, and once in a while I'll do this. I got up at like 2 a.m., worked for a couple hours, and then it's like 4:30 or so. I'm like, I'm going to go run. And we have that kind of snow out where it just happened where, you know, how it's kind of like bright outside. You can kind of see even. It's like fun. There's like an inch of fresh snow making the first tracks. I was like, I'm going to do this thing. I went out there and this dog almost made me his breakfast. And it really pissed me off. And so I did one of those things where the dog's attacking you full on and you turn and yell at it. And you're like, hey, hey, you're really, really yelling to make sure he knows how tough I am. Mm-hmm. But he won't go away. So then I did the walk backwards slowly for actually probably 15 minutes. Just making – it was horrible. I thought it's never going to end.
Minutes?
And then – minutes, correct. Yeah, 15 minutes.
I'm checking your Strava.
10 minutes. I don't know. 10 to 15. It felt like forever. Anyways, and then finally he went back to its owner, but this dog was I think it was gonna kill me. It was horrible. And so I was bitching to the guys about this, and then Rich said the people need to hear that.
People need to hear this.
Not on leash, aren't okay.
It's not okay. Was there ever a point, Kirk, where you were like, all right, I'm gonna have to fight this dog?
I was looking for trees to climb, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I was looking left and right at that point. And the worst part about it is I was late for an athlete call that I had set for 6 a.m. who lives in Hong Kong. So it's like his bedtime. And so I was late getting to that because I had to reroute. So I was not okay. And the lady was on crutches. She said I could just see a headlamp in the distance. I'm on crutches. I can't get him. Well, there's a lot of reasons you shouldn't be out here right now. Especially
so she's in crutches in the snow.
Correct.
At night.
Well, in the morning. Anyways, I was fired up about it, but I was telling the guys that I took my first nap in like a year and a half just before this because I was tired and I just don't know what content I'm going to be capable of right now because I don't nap. So that's how this all came up.
You're bringing heat so far.
Oh, I'm fired up.
But that's BK had. I was talking like, oh, there was like, oh, he's friendly. It's like, I don't know your stupid dog. It's still an animal. Like you might think your dog is like this friendly, peaceful thing that like, you know, that is in cartoons, like it's not, it's like still an animal. It doesn't know what friendly is.
Well, and we've all been bit or know someone, a close friend who's been bit. And it's mandatory shot, sometimes stitches. It puts you out of commission for a few days. And even if they are just friendly, well, yeah, he's friendly, but he just ruined my $50 half tights because there's a run in them now because he jumped up on me. But how do you know he's friendly? Like we were down in North Carolina out in the boondocks my freshman year of college. And it was just tobacco, I want to say bean and cotton fields, maybe not bean, but tobacco and cotton fields as far as you could see. And just farm dogs everywhere. And so we had piles of sticks and rocks piled up at different mile markers because you'd pick it up, you'd run with it until you cleared the next house, and then you'd drop it for the next time when you ran it in reverse. So we always ran our routes one way one day and reverse the next day. So you always had rocks and sticks with you because they were mean dogs. And ever since then, it's like two or three guys got bit that year. One guy got treed for like 2 hours until a passing car helped him. Like you may know your dog's nice, but we don't know it, but we all know someone who's been bit by it. It's just not, it's not a good setup.
I've been bit once. And Jack, you said you've been bit twice.
Yeah. I got a nice scar above my left kneecap, both of them back in high school. And my mom, she told me this awesome advice. And I think that you should use this line next time. If someone's like, oh, don't worry, she's friendly. You're like, oh, okay, I'm sure she is. But, you know, anything happens, I'm going to own your house. And then they instantly decide to put it on a leash. So
do you guys have two houses now? Do your parents have two houses in New Hampshire?
No, I was like 15 or 16 when this
happened. Your mom's just lawsuit happy.
Yeah.
We're taking that house.
I think a lot of friendly dogs bite people is what it is.
It felt like
this dog was out there like defending whoever this crippled crutch was. And I was something in the night, and this dog was a great, there was no friendly here. It was like, I'm definitely going to kill you for sure. Like, that's my plan. But I think when that happens, you're friendly to their owner. But in a situation that rises and you're yelling at the dog to try to intimidate it, well, then I just heighten the situation. Now that dog's like, for real, this guy's bad news. That's going to end poorly.
The human equivalent of a dog running at you, barking with its teeth bared, is like a teenager running up to you shouting, I'm going to hit you, with his fist clenched. Now, if I was behind them, like, oh, that's my kid, don't worry, he's just playful, that wouldn't be an excuse. So it shouldn't be for your dog either, because he's telling me that he's not going to be friendly with me. And a dog person would argue that, but we don't know your dog. And how many times do you see that nice, playful dogs end up biting their owners? So they're more likely to bite me than they are you, especially since I'm running. I'm a moving target. They like to chase and play, and a lot of dogs just nip, and that's fun, and that's cool. But it's not when you're not the owner and when they catch your hamstring instead of your hand.
100%.
The farm dog.
What do you guys do when you come?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Cause those are like protective. What do you guys do when you come across a dog, like on a trip? Say you're going on some switchbacks. You don't see a dog coming up. Do you guys just come up to go to a full stop? Cause you're like, I just don't want to take any chances. Cause that's typically what I do. Even if it looks like a friendly dog, I'm like, I just don't want to be that running guy near it, and then it gets all excited and it's like, oh, I'm gonna go play and bite you or something, like, because they don't know better half the time. It's like the person's fault for not putting them on a leash.
Yeah, usually. And that's a good question. It's like
full stop.
I don't usually say something correct. I usually just do real passive aggressive dirty looks, the dirtiest look I can give, and they know and they feel it. But what in the hypothetical that you are gonna have to fight that dog, Kirk, What do you guys do? Are you like going for like the legs? Are you going to try to choke it out? Are you like gouging eyes? Like, how are you going to fight a dog if the thing is going to try to attack you or bite you?
Well, if it has a collar, you start with that. You choke that freaking thing out. Okay, but most of these dogs probably don't have like the farm dogs, which is an interesting situation because the farm dogs, the owners aren't used to people like going out in front of their street because nobody uses those roads rarely. Mm-hmm. So it's like a weird thing. But yeah, collar for sure. And then eyes, I think. You gotta screwed. Muzzle and eyes. Yeah, you gotta go for the mouth. You gotta put your fingers in their eyes and clamp their snout down. That's their sensitive bits. And other than you know where. And so that's what you do. That's what you take care of, that area.
You treat it like a Hollywood knife fight. You remove your shirt or your belt right away and you get that thing out in front of you. And that's your only, you can't fight a dog. I kicked a dog once. We were on a run. There was a Rottweiler, real nasty Southern Rottweiler. Its neck was the size of my shoulders and it jumped between us and it nipped my shorts.
Whew.
And it turned around and locked in on one guy and I just kicked it as hard as I could, like a field goal, across the side of the face. And as I connected, now these dogs had chased people many, many times and bit people. So it wasn't like, I just don't like dogs. This was, we've been bit by this dog. This was a corrugated, constructed half trailer. Like it was a really rough area. And this dog had bit us before. So it was locked in on my buddy and I just kicked. And I felt terrible as I connected because I thought I just killed this thing. And all it did was go and just looked at me. And if you kicked a human like this, instantly unconscious, a field goal as hard as you could to the side of the jaw, unconscious, broken jaw, maybe dead. And it didn't notice it. You are screwed. So we just got over a fence as fast as possible. You can't fight a dog.
Maybe you're overconfident in your kicking ability.
I don't know. It wasn't like a plan. It was, we've been bit. We're about to be bit.
Out here like Vinatieri or something like that.
Any dog that makes you feel unsafe, I mean, even you like a glanced, should harm. Yeah. That's what I think. You should harm. I kicked a little one, like a 10-inch tall dog. That in which it lifted it off the ground. This is in my Colorado days, and it ran down somebody's driveway. They were out there chatting, and it grabbed the back of my shoe. It didn't get my leg, and I turned right around and I punted it, in the sense where it kind of went up and spun, and it turned right around and did its little squeal back to its owners, and they were so pissed at me.
Yeah,
and I would have kicked that dog 10 times again.
So, 99 out of 100 times
that dog took my foot.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah,
it's just that we all know that person who was number 100, and you don't want it to be you.
No. Yeah. Well, wasn't it, where was that guy? Sorry, but Jack, where was that? Was it was a lady, an elderly lady? I don't know if it was local or national. That just got, I mean, within the last 6 months, got killed by a dog while out for her walk or her run.
Wow.
Have you guys, where was that, local, or am I the only, maybe it was local.
Just so much bad news comes in and out. I can't, like, doesn't.
Well, this stood out for sure because it was sent to me. Maybe it was local. But anyways, it just happened to somebody and she was 80 something and out for her deal and ended up killing her, like caught a blood vessel in her leg. And that was that.
Jeez.
So anyways, it can happen.
Not have you guys ever been running and had a dog break through? Yeah. Have you guys ever had a dog break the invisible fence line and then get out? That's a scary feeling because you think it's safe and then it just absorbs the shock. And then it's like, well, I'm about to be chased for a while. That's happened to me one time and that was not fun.
Well, that's the issue with the country dog is they don't have boundaries. They have their territory, but they'll follow you for a half mile if they want to.
Found that out.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let me rephrase myself. A dog that makes me feel threatened doesn't necessarily deserve to be harmed or kicked, but the owner does.
The owner does. Yeah.
The owner is, that's the worst part.
In the throat. And if I could take out a lady on crutches, I would have this morning.
That's the thing. That's what
I've because I'm a decent man, but I was close.
That's why the people need to hear this, right? It's like, it's your fault. Like if you think you have complete control over your dog, you're delusional. You don't, like, you just can't unless you actually have control over it. It's going to think for itself a little bit. It gets scared. It's not a person. It's, you can't like judge what, you can't expect anything out of them, what they're going to do.
They're no bad dogs. They're bad owners.
Definitely.
That's the purpose.
Here. Yeah.
Don't be a bad owner.
Ooh. Yeah. BK. How would Crutches Lady have felt if, you know, she was slowly walking by your house and then your dog. Yeah.
She was me.
Would have been good.
The roles were reversed. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I might edit this out.
I don't know if you guys want to go on a quick side tangent, but since Rich sort of mentioned the phrase, like if you got to just go one-on-one with a dog, what would you do? What do you think the biggest animal that you could actually take down using your own willpower? Like what's the biggest animal you could take down if you were in a life or death situation?
Brown bear.
We used to have this debate all the time in runs.
I think a flamingo.
Brown bear, no problem.
Brown bear.
Yeah. Take out a flamingo. It's
flamingo
tall.
Is it's tall,
but I think I could get it.
Could you do like an ostrich?
No, not a chance.
An emu?
No.
Ostrich? Are you kidding? No way.
Have you ever seen an ostrich in person? I have in the wild.
They're like 8 feet tall. You're not going down an ostrich.
You saw a wild ostrich?
Yes and no. In Wisconsin, of all places. I was deer hunting with my dad. And is this all wild? No, and we were out
hunting
for reference. I was out deer with my dad in high school, and all these deer were running by, like 30 deer just sprinting one direction. I was like, oh, something's spooking these things. And 200 yards down our like shooting lane, cut through the woods, out pops this freaking ostrich at the end of the, and it looked like a skyscraper compared to these deer. So it was like, that is a woolly mammoth ostrich Sasquatch. Yeah. They're so tall and big. Like they made the deer look like little.
What
puppies.
Was it doing there?
Got away from somebody's hobby farm, like 3 miles.
We have
down
a lot of
road.
Those in Wisconsin. We have a lot
all
of,
over.
Yeah. You find a lot of exotic farms in Wisconsin, but podunk type stuff escapes all the time. We had a lion in Milwaukee about 5 years ago.
Anyway, ostriches are gigantic. And that was a day I'll never forget. What's so, a, no, I don't, think you could take out an ostrich.
What's a fun Wisconsin town I could reference when we're talking about northern, like Butternut?
West Dallas. Oh.
Something like that.
Marquette.
How do you want to reference it?
Like just like a place, like a really obscure place that has ostrich farms.
Like Boulder Junction.
Is there a funnier name? Like I'm looking at the map, Lugerville. That's kind of funny.
That's a good one.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, Boulder Junction. I see. That's almost by the, it's in like the UP. All right. We're getting off. No. I'm getting off. Off
you can't, you have to conclude this because we're live.
All right. So I'm going to wrap up this dog talk. When that lion was sighted in Wisconsin, it was one of those like tall tales. People like, maybe it's just a mountain lion. Because from time to time, they come through the glacial drumlins. They'll come down through Canada or whatever, and they get down into Wisconsin, like farmland and everything.
Like by Lugerville?
No, we have like a sustained population of mountain lions in Wisconsin, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple hundred.
No, more than that.
You think more than a couple hundred?
Not in the South.
Probably knows better than most.
But keep going.
Anyway, then people's security cams started catching a real African lion.
What?
So we had the Milwaukee lion was around here, and then they just stopped seeing it. So either the owner took care of it quietly, which is probably not a thing, or no. It was just out there. And so this, what do you do when a dog approaches you thing became, we have a lot of bike paths in Wisconsin. What do you do if the lion comes?
The lion.
Now it wasn't like it wasn't like Mufasa. It was a little emaciated and a little scraggly, but I'd take a geriatric lion over most human beings any day of the week. So I think it was feasting off homeless people in the parks probably and yikes. Subsiding off that. But I mean, what would hopefully you do if a lion came out?
I hope that lion was eating feral dogs. That would have been a nice equalizer.
Like
I said, feral dogs.
I don't want to hear about
taking care
bears,
not puppies.
Get a lion and get some real problems.
Hope we're not canceled.
No, a lion's no, that's no good. You got nothing for it. Like I always think about that guy in Utah though. There's a mountain lion, choked it out. I think I'm like, if that guy can do it, I should be fine out there.
It was a
kid. Rich just wants to fight
it. It was like a 30-pound mountain lion. Still impressive.
Still a mountain lion. Dude was getting hunted and freaking murk the lion. Let them all know that we're not out here playing us runners.
You got to get
better think twice. You got to get on his back. You got
to get to his back, yeah. Otherwise, even if you control up top, its bottom paws are just clawing your midsection to death.
Oh, yeah.
You're screwed.
Yeah, no, you're right. Tallest animal, yeah, a flamingo I think would be – I think we could do
can't
that.
Take mine. You have.
I'm just brains. I'm just like a tip penguin's over, no, like no problem. Pen. No problem.
I think like a panda bear, koala bear.
No, it's a bear.
A sloth, a three-toed sloth. Those are pretty big.
Something
pretty
slow big. Moving. Pretty slow. I think if you gave me enough time, I could take out a manatee.
That's a good one.
On land or in sea? In sea, yeah. I think you're tough.
Shallow tough. Water.
Shallow water.
Give friendly. Me enough time.
Shallow water.
Take out a manatee. Okay. a girl my brother went to high school with.
Rich, are you regretting hitting the record button as soon as you did?
We're going to talk about High Rocks. I promise we're going to talk about High Rocks.
Yeah. Rich just there was a girl on spring break down in Florida who rode a manatee. It was in shallow water. She got on top of it, took a picture, and got a massive fine and trouble for that because that is a federally protected animal. Can't and it that. Turned out to be a girl from our high school who was in my brother's friend group and the exact type of girl you'd expect to be like, ah, manatee.
It's I'm gonna fine. Ride it. I can do it. That's what I'm allowed to do.
It was an expensive spring break. Don't ride the manatees.
I don't think you could take a manatee for the ride.
I'm going with domestic cow now that I think about it. I'm smarter and quicker. I could do that.
Yeah. I don't know. You see, cows, get cows will mess you up.
I don't know about that.
Pretty big. You think you can do that? Well, there is a thing.
They have a reputation of being tipped over, but still, you got to sneak up on that thing. I'm talking, you guys are in like a 100 by 100 square, maybe smaller room, and like that cow's got to know you're up next to it.
Manatee.
If you crammed a giraffe into a room and it had to, its head was all torqued down by the ceiling, you'd be in the chips.
Giraffes will mess you up.
You'd be basically a golf ball if that thing wanted to launch you with its neck. Giraffes would mess you up.
You're right, too.
Anything
right.
with hooves.
Just toast.
Yeah.
As much as I would like to go through the entire animal
kingdom. You don't need like a camel. I feel like a camel.
Let's move on.
Like would fight, yes, would win, maybe. We could create a checklist. Maybe someone out there listening can create a checklist for us and we can do it on our own. But we have the High Rocks North American Championships coming up this weekend. Some of us will be there and we're excited to do so. And I got BK check out what came through.
Oh, baby. Is that what you're wearing?
I'm going to bring them. They're interesting.
That's a good find, huh?
That Bracken, you're like the, like an RSS feed for discount footwear.
I feel like, yeah, I'm your connect.
You are. Have you ever seen like those travel sites that are that will find deals that like will kind of aggregate all of the like Google flights in different places that are like, oh, you can get a flight from Denver to San Diego for $35, like for these dates, whatever. Yeah.
Secretflying.com.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah. That's Bracken for, for footwear sales. Yeah.
What you don't understand is that he has people working for him on the inside now because everybody knows him as the shoe guy. So all Bracken has to do is open his inbox and somebody's like, did you see this discount? He just gets it sent to him, just flooded. He does none of the work now. All his minions do.
I mean, does Shams go out and get all his own source or do they just come to him?
You've made it to a very high level and like, this has to be something you aspire to. You sent me something else off this site as well. These are the Wave Rebellion. They're coming out the Rebellion Pro. They're not out yet, right? They're just on pre-order.
You can now order them from Running Warehouse, but it's they say ships in February, and I wanted them for Hyrax.
Those are the ones that are super wacky, almost no heel at all on them. But these look pretty good, man.
My heel's not touching the ground this weekend.
These are like cleats under here, man.
And what is the heel to toe drop of that shoe? That's my big question because I might be interested.
It's hard to tell because there's no heel.
Oh, on the Rebellion.
No, the one you're holding.
Rebellion Pro. This one I think is 8.
Yeah,
let's
hold it up for him. Yeah.
I think it's 8.
What I've come to realize though is I can no longer trust drops from shoes because anytime you test it or someone tests it, there is a huge fluctuation, not only from one shoe to another in the same lineup, but sometimes the same shoe will be like a 4 mil drop, and then it's a 6 mil drop a little bit later. Quality control is tougher with some of these foams, I think. And I don't know, you're just seeing some shoes are just having totally different stack heights, different places that you see them online, because some people actually measure them. They find out that the whatever sample size, the factory base their stats off is just not uniform.
But for the most part, you're not going to get a 4 drop, and they're not saying that there are that it's like a 12 drop and it's actually a 20 drop, which wouldn't necessarily exist. But you're not getting a 12 drop and it's actually 4. They're going
to
be like,
you could get 3 to 4 mil difference though, which is enough
really
for some sensitive people. Yeah,
that's quite a bit. Kirk, are you a lower drop guy?
I seem to feel best and run fastest low drop. Yeah,
like 4.
I prefer 6? 4 or under if I'm going to race. 6 would be my upper limit.
I used to be that way. Now, because super shoes, I'm like, screw it.
But I like the Endorphin Pro, and isn't that an 8? So there's exceptions. 6. It might be 6. But 6
to
8. Know.
That was a big deal when Saucony took their entire line and dropped it all to 8 from 12. We're like, oh my God, they're going minimal. They've gone minimal.
You know my answer. 0.
0 drops. He's got Vibrams on. He wears Vibrams to bed.
No, I wear Ultras and Topo Athletic. Right. Sometimes I'll end up doing VJs if it's like a muddy course, and those have a 4 mil, the ones that I wear.
We just match our mils to our average podiums per year.
So 0 for you for a while.
Until this weekend, baby. That's right.
You really had to dig for that one. Is there some animosity going on?
He doesn't think I can beat up a manatee.
No, I said that's a good choice.
Oh, thank you. Then you screw you, Rich. No way. Right. That's my partner. I can't.
Yeah. We're gonna do some doubles talk for sure on this, but let's start on this is the second championship race of the Hyrox season's first year they've done this format where they're having paid out races only for the 3 championship races, which is, sorry, dog's barking as he does at the North American, European, and World Champions are the 3 paid out races of the year. And this is the North American one. And we're going to call this the North American Open. We're not going to call this any type of championship race because that's what it is. North American Open, where they just took the top times that were run this year. And that's who got into this race. So the first one was what, 3 weeks ago? So we get another shot at it. And the fields aren't too much different. Where do you guys want to start, men or women?
How about the women with their 13 competitors?
Ah, yes, the Elite 13.
Rich, we're on the 1 to 10 scale, and very without hiding it, you were at a 10 on the salty scale a few weeks ago, and I would have been too. Maybe you were at 11 or a 12 off the charts. Where are you at today now that it's race week? And are you able to have an unbiased conversation, or do we need to keep it amongst us three? That's what I'm wondering.
I've gone through the stages of grief, and I'm here at acceptance. But it's probably still like a 4.
Oh, okay.
It's a Philly 4, though. You got to take that into account, because a Philly 10 is you're still burning. No, he was only like a Philly 7 at his worst.
Like a soft pretzel saltiness.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. You seem better. Your energy is much more even today. I can feel like there is some acceptance going on.
I've gone through the stages. Rich, me and BK, though, that's why. BK brought me out of the hole, man.
Rich needed to do the coverage to kind of get all of it out. You weren't too bad on the air, realistically, but there were like a couple times where you just made it known you were frustrated. So
could have been meaner.
Yeah. But I think that you needed that just to publicly air it again.
He got a good rebound out of the way. That's all he needed was one solid rebound, and then he can get back in the game.
I'm rebound
material.
He's like, somebody say rebound, pops right in. BK for me. Then
13 women. That's what I was talking
about. 13 women. So that was the thing that made me super salty. Was that there was rumors that they weren't going to go beyond the top 30. And then one of the race organizers came on with Matt and said, oh, that is just a rumor. We're going to fill these 15 spots. And it clearly wasn't a rumor. They didn't go past 13 because I'm sure two women in the United States, if they would have rolled down further enough, would have come into this race. So they did cap it at 30. I think Chris was 30. I think there's someone behind her. Right. Actually, so maybe they just couldn't find people. I don't know.
Camila Massa missed the cut.
The 15 cut.
You've got the list though.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Because you know she preps. She goes big in on events. She's big at that. Now I don't know her personally, but we chatted in Vegas a little bit, and she built big for her first, and then she rebuilt big for Vegas, and she seems to be one of those big build type athletes, and she probably built for this and then didn't get in.
Oh, Camilla's in for this.
Oh, I thought you said she didn't make the cut.
The 15 cut.
Oh, I thought I didn't see her.
No, Camilla's definitely in. She is 9th.
Well, then never.
Oh, you're right. 9th. Sorry, I'm confusing her with someone else who just missed it then.
Then Camilla, congrats. You're in.
You're prepped. You're going to do great.
Way to go, Camilla.
Oh, big build.
So I'll pull up the
high expectations out of VK now.
This is a good episode, guys.
I mean, compared to last one, I took a listen to that, and my audio got worse as it went. And so if anyone listened to that episode, they're going to be
at one point just fine with this one. I think your headphones were no longer even picking up. You were just going straight from the phone audio.
Yeah. It snap that way. I was like, what the heck? So let's start on the women's side. So as silly as this is for a qualification standard where they are taking the top three in each of these races and they get a bid for the world championships. If it's an open championship, like we are going to call it, which it is, you can't have automatic qualifiers through the next round. Like it doesn't make any sense that way. As silly as that is, what's great about this is that we are going to get a rematch of an awesome women's race, and it's going to be better. This race actually adds more. On the men's side, we'll talk about it. Doesn't add as much. But on the women's side, it is looking really, really solid. Jack, what do you think about this women's race? What are you excited about the most for this race?
Oh, I mean, you literally nailed it. It's just basically a rematch with more that versus what we saw a few weeks ago. I don't think Lauren's going to finish 6th like her seed represents after her domination in Europe. The fact that Michaela and Meg have a few weeks to kind of tweak their strategy, see how things go, I think that's going to make a big difference. And Linda was the only one who didn't race in Euros who we were expecting to, right? Linda Meyer, pretty sure. So adding her to the mix, given her credentials, she's had podium at Worlds before. It's so top heavy. Tara Jackson, you know, she's going to improve. Viola, always one of the best. Alondra, she really impressed me over in Europe. If the sleds are kind of slow, just she's got so much power here in the U.S. that could be interesting. And then number 12, Chris Roglosky, the defending world champion. It's like, what the heck is she going to do? We haven't, you know, last year was pretty much a surprise, but you've got everyone here who's going to be going for the world title later this year. I'm just excited to see what Chris can do again.
Because that is a thing, right? You said it's top heavy, but it's all, we also filled in a lot of spots from like seven down with Camila Massa, Vivian Tafuto, Bridget Brown, Chris Wroclawski.
It's top heavy and deep. I'm saying like there's no denying. Mm-hmm. It's not like you only have two people who can win. You have so many people who could legitimately pull off a win. But also that depth is as deep as we've ever seen it.
So we really only lost Miriam Van Roer, who finished fifth because of that footwear debacle. So she
wanted to watch her too.
Yeah, she's been really impressive. She's been really impressive.
254 wall balls. Yeah, that's impressive.
That's craziness. that's insane. But like, she's the only one that we lose out of this. And we add Linda Meyer, like you said, she got second at Worlds last year, has set two world records this year, which have since been broken. And then we add the American athletes that I just mentioned. So it's going to be legit field out there from top to bottom.
This will be brief, but I just think all eyes are on the front, and then you add in Chris Wroclawski and see how she's going to come at this. I think you're going to find out what kind of athletes like Meg, Michaela are. They both just got punched in the mouth, right? Mm. A few weeks ago, they got punched square in the face. And these are high-end athletes with high acumen, high race IQ. And now it's like, okay, now they come back, they've watched the tape, and they get to go against Lauren Weeks with a plan this time. And I don't necessarily, you know, they thought their fitness would speak for itself in the Euros, and it did to an extent, but they all think they're capable of winning and they did not. And so they've been punched in the mouth. They've had a chance. And now I just don't think you're going to see the blowout like we saw from Lauren last time. I think it would be very shocking if the race unfolded the same way it did. And so I just think that front's going to be a spectacle. And how those two in particular, Michaela and Meg, are going to respond is like what I'm really caring to tune in for. I think it's just going to be fun to see where they're at, how they responded.
Athletes are not the same before and after their first defeat. And both these women had their first defeat on the same day, and it was resounding.
Technically, Meg got second at New York.
But she didn't get beat.
She
may have lost, but she didn't get beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes.
And I'm talking mentally. I'm not talking on paper. Mentally, she walked in knowing no one's touched me yet.
But
and
also, she has that same thought after running an extra lap, right? She's
maybe. Yeah, that's true. But so Michaela and Meg both saw someone's back for the first time. Mm-hmm. Significantly, and then lost sight of that person's back before the nonsense happened. So you either come back better or the worse or worse, but you're not the same. So it'll be, this is one of those events, like you have to run with some big energy, shall we call it? The people who win generally run with a different aura than the people who take any other position, and they hurt less. This is one of those races where the winner hurts the least out of the field. Everyone else hurts a lot, and they just felt all that for the first time. And so it sets up such a great storyline to watch, which is, what do these two women in particular do about Lauren? I don't think they were expecting to have to deal with this yet, and they did on a bigger scale than any of us expected. So this is Worlds minus two or three women.
And
so good.
And that's the thing, right? Like the expectation of where, of what Lauren's fitness was in Maastricht. The last time we saw her was Deka, right? And she had a tough go. Deka was coming off of being sick, kind of had a little bit of an injury. We didn't know what kind of bounce back she was going to have. So it was hard to anticipate that she was going to do what she did. It's easy to guess. It's not even a guess. It's just a certainty that she's going to go out the way that she does. But for her to maintain that and really run her best race that we've ever seen her run in High Rocks, and this is a defending world champion, two-time world champion, former world record holder, like for her to run her best race at Maastricht, it was like unforeseen. It was crazy.
It seemed like she went from like 70% fitness to 105% fitness from one race. It was like a gigantic jump that – if I had to bet money, I would not have bet that would have been the outcome or how it played out. So, yeah, but when it clicks, it clicks. You guys know that. You start to lay foundational work. You start to wonder, you know, like where, if, or when it's going to happen. And I know I have been where it's been all of a sudden it's like, whoa, there it is. It's back. And it can happen I don't know, the flip of a switch sometimes. And obviously she's been putting in purposeful work. So I'm assuming that's the case with her. She got healthy. She wasn't sick. Her training, finally, she charged up and I don't think she's going to backtrack. I think this is it now, right?
Well, we saw her. I mean, again, she was sick, but we saw her set the DECA world record. And then at World Champs, she wasn't there. But this is only 3 weeks difference. That was like 8 weeks or so. That was like a big time. Like, you can't imagine she's going to be much different than what she was at Euros.
Do we have any insight on how any of these women recovered and traveled and health-wise since then? Like, did she come back sick and miss a week? Do we know any of this about any of these women who were over there? That's the only question mark.
I mean, we talk about the excuses being made. Didn't see any excuses on social.
For men do it more.
Men do it.
Men are babies.
The top seed already started.
The top seed does it a little bit here on the women's side. She'll kind of be like, not feeling that great, but doing what I can. So I've seen a little bit of that from her, but that's not Lauren I'm talking about. It's Michaela. But I haven't seen anything else.
Do you know the travel schedules of any of the women coming from Europe? Because centrally located Chicago, I can't imagine it's going to be more than like 3 or 4 hours for anybody from the U.S. Maybe like Bridget Brown down in Tampa might have the longest travel time to get to Chicago for this. But it's relatively short for pretty much everybody. Do you know anything about when the international women are coming over?
No idea. I was just looking at the weather, seeing like if it would make any sense for them to come and enjoy it, but it's looking like regular Midwest stuff, 30s, cloudy.
How crazy is it that the world champ from 7 months ago is an afterthought, both in positioning on the list and in the pre-race hype? What does that say about the state of this sport right now?
She's a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah.
It's not like we, like Chris Rogalski we're talking about. It's not like we're being like, oh, and she's just staying focused. Like, she's been doing all this other shit, you know? And that's why. It's not because like we doubt her ability to perform. It's just that like, she doesn't just do Hyrox, and all these other people on here just do Hyrox.
Yeah.
You know, she's got young athlete age though, in the sense where how long has she been endurance training? 4 years, 3 years?
Yeah.
How long has it been? So technically, maybe even though she hasn't been as specific as some of these other women, and maybe she has, we don't really know. She should still be getting better, right? Regardless as to it all, I would think. So isn't that factor in a little bit?
I mean, better from the sense that she's better at endurance training.
Capable of work. I'm not saying at Hyrox specific, yeah. But
I think Hyrox is very unique compared to OCR, especially on the women's side, where in OCR, we're like, where's the rest of the talent? Why do we not have these new faces? Why isn't the field as deep? You look at this list right here, I couldn't tell you who's going to miss the top 7 or 8. Like, it's so hard just with how deep it is. And that's probably the reason why Chris isn't getting as much attention. I could see her doing a Lauren, just like we saw in Europe, where it's like we weren't talking about her. Everything was all about Meg versus Michaela and then who might finish third. And I don't even think any of us put Lauren in third. I think we were all guessing she'd be like fourth or fifth or so. Because
we're stupid.
Because she didn't have a great performance leading into it. If there's anything we've learned in Hyrox through the years, seed time, it doesn't matter. Every course is slightly different and people are just going to have a good day or a bad day. And just given Chris's track record in this sport, you just got to put a little bit more respect behind her name.
Actually, good point, Jack. You actually made a good point there.
Yeah. Help me understand and the listeners understand one thing specifically. Why did Chris Rogalski win the Hyrox World Championships last year? Let's qualify that win. Why? Was she just that much better, more practiced, more skilled? Or was there an asterisk or two that the perfect storm scenario? And if there weren't any perfect storm scenarios, which there were, then why couldn't she do it again? I guess. So why did Chris win last year? Let's discuss that, because I wasn't part of that discussion.
I think it's explainable. I definitely wouldn't put an asterisk to it. BK, what are your thoughts?
Well, Lauren wasn't there. Meg wasn't
there.
She was there. Michaela wasn't there.
Yeah.
Oh, Lauren was there, but she was wearing a baby.
Her and her baby were also at the start line. Yeah.
Yeah. And they'd been together about 8 months at that point.
Yeah, they were familiar.
So you take the
youngest ever High Rocks finisher.
You take the if you had a ranking system in the world right now, the number 1, 2, and 3 weren't there.
So well, they didn't even participate last year, so that you can't really.
Correct.
Yeah. But nonetheless,
our current
Rachel Vonderock was probably Lauren Weeks was top. Rachel Vonderock was second.
I'm saying current of this race right here.
Okay.
Michaela, okay. Meg,
move Lauren up instead of her sixth seed. You're saying she's the presumptive number one.
Yeah. If you had a power rankings in the sport right now, it'd be Michaela, Meg, and Lauren in some order. Yeah. And all three of them were gone in some capacity last year. So there's that. And then the race turned into a kind of chaos. No one really asserted themselves in a way that was just, I'm the best without Lauren here. And it left the door open for people. And we've seen Chris thrives in those like toss up situations. She capitalized and Linda almost did. Linda was probably the heir apparent and she was in first for a while. But I think Chris just took the chaos of the situation and channeled it the way she does with her ultra and her mountain background in OCR. She knew what to do when the ball was fumbled, kind of. And she did it better than anyone else.
It's hard to win on many levels, and Chris is not afraid to win. Some people like that is a hiccup that comes along, and I think in last year's race, and not that I'm saying that this is what these people did, but it seemed like someone like Linda or Miriam Van Roer, they didn't know how to win, and Chris just doesn't care. She doesn't care. Like, she's just going to do go as hard as she can, as much as she can. If that means she's going to win, she's going to win. She's not going to like back down from it. Viola Oberlander, I thought was the favorite. She's who I picked to win that race last year. She ran an extra lap, but also wasn't really kind of in that mix. And who was assertive was Alondra Greenlee. And her running just wasn't where it is now, you know? So like she went out hard and was assertive and just like held on for as long as she could and faded to fourth, I believe. Another thing that we could really put on this is that they reduced the sled push weight at the World Championships. It's like worth noting that is something where Chris, that's an area where she's going to have an issue compared to other athletes, just being a little bit more on the slight end, not really from a strength background, as rich of a strength background as some of these other athletes. I think that played in her favor. So,
but they put the poles on, so that should have evened it.
The freaking 3 inches of pole height, 55 pounds they weigh. Yeah. 4 by 3 inches, 55 pounds, believe that. So if they do that again, which they might come over here and be like, these sleds still not right. Take that weight off. I really, really hope they don't do that, but they might. So who knows?
So wait, I guess nobody said anything about Chris's fitness here. It was like kind of her mind, her acumen, her positive attitude and go get her spirit and nothing, no speed bump too big, right? Yeah. She's going to take care of business no matter what, but nobody talked about physically why she won the race. And is there anything you can point to? Because right now I guess we'll find out. And I hope it's a showdown. I hope there's 4 or 5 in that front mix and she's one of them. It's just like, has the pointy end of the spear on the women's field gotten so good that even a Chris Roglosky just, you can't get by and you can't get lucky with who and who doesn't show up. It's not going to matter anymore because the top end is so good and specific. Like, are we to that point or is that where we thought we were last year and she still won? Like, doubt Chris again? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's one thing in this podcast, what we should have learned is like, don't doubt Chris. How many times have we said that? We're like, ran 100 milers. There's no way she'll be recovered from Mexico. Oh, she did High Rocks World Championship the day before. She'll have a really bad day at Big Bear because of all the hills. She podiums. Like, just don't doubt the woman.
The interesting thing is that Kirk and I talked to her in an interview afterwards, a couple months later, and we asked about that, and she didn't really, really prep for Worlds. I would say that she did the least specific prep for it. She did some work, but she wasn't doing like, I'm living on the sleds. I'm doing tons of wall ball. She was just doing her normal CrossFit-ish style work a few times a week and running mountains to prepare for Big Bear. So on paper, she has the biggest gap between her and her ceiling still, because High Rocks must have specific work for you to get to your ceiling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't just do it off of running and lifting. That's just not the way this works. So if she spent any time recently, which I don't know, prepping for this, she's in position to pull off something crazy, but I just don't envision her going in on this race.
Especially after the crazy season she just had. I mean, what was World's Toughest November? We're in February right now, so it's not that far removed from that. And then she had December as her, as Spartan Worlds. Like, I mean, I guess you could go right into a Hyrox build, but I don't think it would make sense. I don't think that she would necessarily want to make that move. I think she's been in the gym more than what she had been before, but not as much as like Michaela, Meg, and Lauren.
And keep in mind, this is for US or North American Open Championship. Yeah. Nice. This isn't Hyrox World. So maybe she's just like, I'm just going to do enough to make sure I'm able to get into that top 15. It's just going to be really what signed out.
Impossible.
Maybe she's just going to try to do enough to get into that top 15, but wouldn't that require basically a podium here or a top 15 finish? When's the cutoff day for final times? Is it like end of March, early April?
For cutoff times, last year it was pretty close to World Championships, right? That race that Wooly did
in London.
That was 2 weeks before Worlds. So hopefully they'll keep that same thing. They'll probably just change it to make it worse. They'll probably make the cutoff like early March. We'll have one more race to do.
Saturday.
It might as well be. Because Chris is like right now, her time is 30th, 29th. So she needs to run a really strong time. And her PR isn't that strong comparatively to this list. It was just like she showed up on that race day and took care of business. So she either needs to really prepare to run a fast time or she's going to need to pull something off this weekend.
And I think that's the key with Chris and the new wave of the sport is that Chris is not someone who has any interest in time trialing.
Right.
She's not a, let's see what time I can get. She loves the experience of racing, and that makes her a dangerous racer in a championship race because she doesn't care about the moment. She's not caught up in should I, shouldn't I. She's just there to find out what she can do, like you alluded to earlier. But that does not make you a scary time runner, and she's not going to prep to go out to run a time. She could win, you know, she could take fourth in this race and not get to Worlds. Even though we all know she could replicate that at Worlds. Fourth place here means you don't go to Worlds because there's no roll down in the qualification.
The thing that's silly. The thing with Chris too, though, is right. Yeah, let's circle back to that topic because that's interesting, Bracken. It's worth noting. But the thing with Chris, like I think if it was up to her, like prepping really hard for 8 weeks to get to a specific time, I bet she would rather just like do doubles and then do individuals and just do like, and then do relay, do like three races in a day. I think that she would rather do that than actually be like, I'm only preparing to do as well as possible because I need to get a time to get to this other race the way, like how I'm going to prepare. Like, I don't see it.
Rich, question for you. So I mentioned the auto qualifiers, top three Euros, top three North American. What happens if Lauren, Michaela, and Meg take the podium again? Does 4, 5, 6 here? Do they get an automatic berth into? Okay, so it's only top three. And then, so in theory, if those are your top three again, the remaining 12 are all going to be time-based?
Mm-hmm. Which, again, is silly because the times are inconsistent. So, like, yes, having it rolled down would be a way for Chris. Say she gets sixth, right? Races really well, gets sixth. Yeah. And the three people already have those autos. That should roll down because you should be able to race your way into the World Championships. And they're just like, they just don't want to do that.
Facing the best at a previous championship.
But yeah, by beating these athletes who I don't necessarily know Jacqueline Lippenmeyer. I don't want to pick on her, but say like that she raced somewhere and had a fast time, but like chances of Chris passing her in time for the rest of the year is probably pretty low. But if she beats her head to head in a race, it doesn't matter with this qualification system, which.
Yeah, Hyrox made the wrong decision scale. at every juncture. It feels like
What is
our North American athlete to non-North American athlete count on the women's side for the North American Open? Have we done
five,
that?
Maybe
this isn't bad.
Eight North American women, so that makes me feel a little bit better.
Maybe nine.
And if we were to pick one woman, because basically we've just paid a ton of lip service to Linda, Meg, Michaela, and Chris, Who would Lauren? Who would be the one? Who would be the one that would bust through and Tara. And shake up everything we've been talking about?
Tara. Should be Tara.
I agree.
She's the Rich Ryan of the sport.
Yeah.
She's a Decafit champ who's not getting her respect on her name.
She just finished seventh at Euros. So, I mean, like, she had
she was in it and then she wasn't.
But what about like Alondra, who, that, you know, that aggressive style, one, you know, like the Ryan Kempson theory, you go out hard and you fade and you fade and you fade. And then one day you hold on. Like, is that what's going to happen to Alondra here? Cause she's the one who asserts herself more on a regular basis.
Early. I think that happened for her at Euros. Like she ran like a 3-minute PR.
That would be the version. So she just did that to break through.
I think she just did that. So now I think we can expect her to be there again. She's going to be there at lunges with, she's going to be close to that top three, if not like right on their heels or wherever Linda ends up, who knows where Linda's going to be in this. So yeah, Alondra, I think, is asserting herself as a consistent contender. Worlds, again, was kind of up in the air. It was kind of just a crapshoot for anything, and she was there as well. But the Euros, that race was much more competitive than the previous World Championships, and she was still right in that mix. So I would expect to see her. I don't think it's going to be a surprise. But yeah, I think BK's right with Tara.
Yeah.
So, Kirk, question for you. Race tactics. If you know you're facing someone like Lauren Weeks,
yeah,
and you know she's going to race away that you don't really want to race, like just hurting from the jump, your fitness might be in the same place, but the way that you would get to that end result might be different. What do you do?
It's tough because if you can't tip over in a race like this, because once it happens, right? And so that's the risk you have to play. I don't know if you beat Lauren at her own game. That's the thing, unless you actually are as good or better. Do you beat her at her own game? Meaning, all right, you're going to go out hard, Lauren? Well, I'm going to go out as hard or harder. Let's scare you early. Like, can you use somebody's own strength against them? I don't know if that's the right call with her. I think the call is to still try to keep her in sight and then gobble her up late, overextend yourself where you know she's faster than you. So like, for example, where was it? Like right away, she gapped him on what? The ski erg?
Run into the ski erg.
Right away.
Like 400 meters.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, I think maybe overextend a little bit on where you know, everybody knows their time gaps, right? On the stations. And I think that's where you take the risk and hope that your training and your fitness holds you off. I don't know what you do with the run portion, but I would be very much focused on closing the gaps on the station portion. And wherever that lands you, it lands you. But I don't know. I don't know if you can beat her at her own game. That's a tough way to go unless you're that much better. I gave you a fluffy answer, but I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
That was a hedge.
No, I think you're right. But until you got fluffy.
Yeah.
Everyone's race strategy strength is the biggest gap in their armor. If you're a sit and kicker, that's the way you lose as well. You either get out kicked or you get gapped. And if you're a front runner, you get beaten by someone hanging on to you and taking away that momentum of being in first. Mm-hmm. And Lauren can close races. We know that. So what we haven't seen in a while outside of Decafit, which it was effective against her, match her start. And then hopefully she's not as enthused at this pain level and effort level. If there's something about being aggressive and it working that feeds you. But when you're an aggressive racer and it doesn't create a gap, even if you're still in first, but you're looking back and they're still right there, it drains you. And I think that's the only way to race this woman, because she doesn't have glaring weaknesses elsewhere, but they have strengths elsewhere. So I think they have to be in touch to use those strengths.
I think so too. I think it's like,
Kirk, it's not easy though. I want to be clear that I'm not presenting this as all you got to do is just hang on her. It's going to be the most miserable thing you've ever done, because she's super good and good at this. And she's going to take everyone to a bad place. So I don't envy these women. I'm just excited to watch them try to do it.
How did Kent beat Hunter?
Yeah. Took his strength to his strength.
Exactly.
He skied and he sledded.
And he was in the mix when it mattered. And then Hunter realized he was hurting, took away Hunter's head of steam, and pretty soon you have a demoralized Lauren in second place and she's getting pulled away from. I mean, again, theory, it sounds great, but it's not easy to do.
Because it could be that way, right? Like, if, like Bracken, you said, if you're assertive always and people never go with you or drop off, it would be natural to be like, is this an off day? Do I not feel as good as I think? Is my fitness not where it needs to be? If they're right there.
I don't have it today.
I mean, I don't have it today. I'm usually away from these athletes. Mm-hmm. So I think like, I think they should probably overextend on the run as opposed to the sleds because her stations, because her stations aren't that much better than anybody's. But her running ends up being the fastest out there. But I think it's only because she puts herself in the position to hurt on the runs where other people are going to be a little bit more conservative. So I think if you just kind of like run a little bit faster and just like deal with the stations and just be around her.
I'm going to vote now that she might have the best mod.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we said that early. She was like a 99 or something.
It's been rumored that she has had the best mod.
She gets my vote now.
Yeah.
There's no way she should be running faster than the fast runners and costing less. It doesn't make sense to me.
Didn't we see something similar in Palm Beach before DECA World Championship for DECA Fit Palm Beach? She had like a 10-15 second gap after the lunges early on. Like she just opened it up. And that was how much she won by. Mm-hmm. It was just, here's the gap the rest of the race. You guys did nothing about it.
It's an awful way to run DECA. Good for her if she could do that. But
it is the most commendable strategy of any race strategy because it will cost you the most.
It's pre-Fontaine.
I don't think it's disrespectful or weak at all to sit and kick. It is a viable strategy to winning. But taking it out and putting everyone in it is absolutely the most miserable way of racing. And that is so commendable.
Kirk, I think I'm getting some nose breathing into that microphone. That is you. That's the nose.
I'm trying to talk closer to it. That like I'm only like 2 inches away because
need that little pop in that pop guard.
Recently, I felt quieter than Bracken on a recording, so I'm trying to be closer to the mic. So maybe I'll step back.
You're going alpha on him. You're like, hey man, I'm loud.
Trying to flex.
I'm the loudest one out here.
All right, Rich,
I'm further away.
I just received an email. High Rocks athlete guide.
Okay.
4 days, it says. 4 days to go.
That's what we got. We're ready. Is the tech briefing in there?
I don't know. I'm not gonna look at it now. You're gonna lose me the whole rest of the day.
we'll push this to the end. Because that is where the tech guy are. That's another thing that's gonna matter for us, the course layout, which we'll talk about. But for the championship races, they're gonna do the same thing that they did at Europeans with the lanes. Another thing with this, they shouldn't count these times toward the times of the top 30 because luckily they weren't necessarily faster, like a crazy discrepancy. They were actually slower, but I don't think they should count these times for the rest of the races. Cause this is not an opportunity that everybody has to race. Like it's not fair.
Yeah. And yet it's the only chance to go fast as a US athlete.
Yeah.
They're definitely going to count it.
It's the only way.
And 14 and 15 don't exist for the seeds in this race. So that's two people who would have had a chance at making a faster time as well against better competition.
They have been slower. They usually, these like championship courses, they don't do a great job of making like, they make it for the visual appeal. So the layout's a little funny and they kind of goof it up. Like I said, at Euros, they started with a 500 meter run. And then every other run was like 1100 meters or whatever, however that math works. But they shouldn't count it, but they didn't think about that because shoulder shrug emoji.
Rich is up to like a 5 on the bitter scale, right? He's slowly rising a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Salty. Yeah. So what else on this women's field? What else do we have to add here?
Top three predictions. Let's hear them. Can't just talk about it. This is like any of our race brand things. We need to say who's going 1, 2, 3.
Not to be about it. Are you going to do a prediction contest, Jack? Mm-hmm. You said you were going to whip it up last time. And then you didn't.
Yeah, I probably could, but
you know, I'm in the kitchen with his Pyrex.
Sure wasn't. Yeah. What's the KitchenAid? You got one of them, Jack? See you.
No.
You like a good sourdough bread? I can see you baking.
I don't really eat a lot of bread, so no.
I can see you're definitely a baker over a cook, though. That's for sure.
No.
What?
I rarely bake. Yeah.
I bet you would like it.
I'm a crock pot guy. That's very measured this whole year. Okay. Crock pot's been really good to us.
Okay. I can go. Bracken, all you right. Wait. You wait to see how you're going to kind of like pick 4 or 5 and then pick nobody.
No, I already have mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you go.
I'm not asking to go. I'm just letting you know. I'm locked in. Here, okay. It is going to be Meg and Lauren 1, 2, not necessarily in that order. And then I'm going to say Michaela, as much as I respect her as an athlete, she's going to be the one spit out. I don't think she goes top four, maybe not top five. I think what we saw in Euros is going to happen harder here with a potential sled issue with people really ramped up to go up front. Maybe she gets caught up in that pace. I think she gets caught in the meat grinder. And then I think we have, I guess you're getting me caught in this right now. I'm going to say Alondra sneaks in third.
I like it. USA, USA. I'm going to be going crazy. I'm going to be USA'd out. I got Patrick Ewing, Dream Team, OG.
Oh, yeah.
Jersey. You're going to wear a jersey?
After our race, just like to
yeah.
Yeah, to like just to cheer.
I'm going to wear Running Public stuff.
Yeah,
no. No, I'm not. I'm commentating now.
You're commentating now?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
With me and Hunter.
Yeah. That should be fun.
It could be.
That'll definitely be fun.
No, it'll be fun no matter what.
So you're going to have to be the play by play. You're just double color.
I'm post label.
Let's see if you can reel in Hunter and have him do like more of the what's going on out there.
Keep him
centered.
Yeah. I think he's going to be lead. Take us in and out of commercials, read the sponsor reads.
Hit some teases. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's good that they brought you on so you can cook and have him be second fiddle to you. He'll like that.
Rich, top three.
I'm going Meg, then Lauren, and I kind of like that Alondra pick. What do we think with Linda Meyer here?
She was my other choice.
Because she might be content racing her race.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she wants anything to do with, I don't know her that much as an athlete, right? She's set these world records solo, finished second last year. She was in that mix the year before. I think she was like 6-7 the year before. Yeah. She doesn't seem extremely aggressive. She closes really well and she's a pretty decent runner. I don't think she has like any massive strength advantages over anybody. I think she's just like a Tobias Ludwig style of racer. I don't think that's going to do well in this field. A sit and wait, unless you can close like an absolute animal. But Meg and Lauren and Michaela are as much or even more animals. So like, it's going to be hard to reel them in. So she might be able to pull off a third if she runs her race, but if she goes with it, I'm going to pick Linda for third. Pick Linda for third.
Yeah. You tucked yourself right out of it and still chose it.
I just wanted to kick it around, but we thought she would be. But yeah, I think she'll, unless they put this actual sled weight on there, who knows? Then all the Euros might be like, how many? We got 13. They might be 13th.
12th, I would have 11th. Picked Miriam.
For third here?
Third. Yeah.
Her closing ability is so dangerous.
Michaela ran actually kind of a smart race at Euros. I thought she was going to be out of it. I didn't think that an athlete without that much high rex experience or without that much endurance experience would have the ability to kind of like hold on and then push into a race later. Cause she was kind of like seventh or like sixth, she seventh going to slip. She did. She ran really well. I was kind of impressed by the way that she raced and she finished like pretty well, finishing second. Right. So I thought that she was just going to go out and blow up or wasn't going to be able to handle not winning. Not the case.
I want to say one thing about that before you guys do your predictions. We've seen this with David Magida before, where if you are successful at a sit and move up strategy in high rocks, it almost ensures that it doesn't work the next time you do it. Because you do it in a race that it works well, it times perfectly, and then you move up and have success. Now, she didn't win, but she was moving up through people. And then you get to the next race, and you're reminding yourself to do it correctly, and you maybe go a tick slower early, and they go a tick faster, and then you find yourself two-gapped. And we saw that with David. He went 50, or he ran whatever at Dallas, maybe like 60 flat, and then he came to North American Champs last year and was out of it coming out of the ski erg. Rather than, I'm going to be in the back end of the mix, he was disengaged, and then you panic and you can't. So I wonder if that's not going to come and bite her. We haven't seen people yet pull off back-to-back sit and excel performances.
for me, it actually is the opposite, right? Like the races I run well is when I sit and hang and move my way up. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, what if I go faster? And then it's like, oh, okay, never mind. This isn't how it's going to work.
Okay. What happened with you at DecaFit World Champs? You just kind of waited until the right moment instead of being like, I'm the best runner. I'm going to take it out.
Those goofballs went out too hard. What am I going to, yeah. And I knew it.
Yorick for the win for you.
That's my dude. Seriously. I owe him. Legit. Kirk, what do you think?
You got to look at who has the most receipts kept and also combines that with the most potential. And that's Meg. We talked her up so much and other people in the hype, and she had to feel that. And then to go out and not win, which we know was her goal and she thought she was capable of, and not do that. There's not a more motivated person on that start line than Meg. And it's combined with her talent. And now she is going to come in with a newfound strategy. And I think it is going to work against Lauren. So I think Meg's going to win. I think Lauren's going to give her a heck of a run. But I think Meg's going to break her on a run. And she's going to keep that gap when she gets the lead. She's going to use that momentum to pull away. And then I think Alondra Greenlee's hanging on as well for third.
I'm going to be out there with one of those old school, like gym class score things, like the flip over for Meg's lap count. Be like, boom. But then I got to pay attention. Well, I got to pay attention. That's not great. Yeah.
Indoor track right there.
That's true.
Running a 2 mile.
I'm going to hit her with a bell every time she needs to go in. 2 mile, 1 mile. I get lost sometimes on that.
We had 160 meter indoor track in my
house. That was mine.
Oh, Lord.
Running that 2 mile?
10 laps.
20 laps? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I had to train at Lafayette College. That's where I would train indoors. That was 160. It was tough. Yeah.
And ours was a rubberized basketball court, the whole thing.
Oh, Lord. Can you wear spikes on that or no?
No.
The only indoor track in Green Bay was 133 meters.
it's like the YMCA.
It was the opener, and I ran the 2 mile.
What'd you run?
Oh, God.
Sub 11?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like 10, 20 something, maybe.
That's pretty good indoor.
Oh, yeah. I really sold out there, too. I really went for it.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Tight turns.
It's all turns. It's
all you got to do is excel on the straightaway and hold on the turns.
If it was banked, would it just be like
48 times?
Like just like banked the entire time?
Not banked. Not
perpendicular out from the wall.
It just would
horrifying.
Yeah.
Jack, what do you think?
I mean, we have a lot of recent data. It was only a few weeks ago when we had European Championship. So Lauren, I just don't see a way where Meg has done enough and Lauren has lost enough confidence in the past 3 weeks. And Lauren as a two-time world champion, I just think that she knows she's back and that's going to carry a lot of weight. Meg is still a newcomer to this field. Obviously we all have her on the podium. I have her in second place. But I think that Lauren has enough confidence right now that she's back, that that's going to pay off. And as I know that a couple people were saying, Michaela probably is. Did anybody pick Michaela in third? Am I the only one doing it? Cause I don't think that I heard her on any of your lists. But yeah, I think regardless, at the end of the day, she still ended up beating Alondra by a minute, Miriam by a minute, Tara by 2 minutes. And this is 3 weeks ago.
Numbers don't lie.
Yeah, there's a reason that she just finished second at European with most of this field from the American side there. So I don't see a reason why she'll miss the podium either.
Oh, Chris listens to this podcast, and she has been totally blanked. And we have just added the biggest chip for her. She's going to be so frustrated with you three.
You didn't pick Chris on you.
Yeah, but I'm the one announcing it, so I'm taking myself out of this.
All right, she's gonna be frustrated. Tell us where Chris is going to finish. You lead it off since you're announcing it.
Oh, my goodness. She's going to take fifth or sixth. And
you think that's helping her? Not I want a number.
No, she's going to be pissed at me too. Oh, I can't wait for her to show up and do well and rub it in our face.
Know what I like about her in this race, though, because we expect this to go out hot. I think she goes with it, says screw it. She's done it in pretty much every other race that she's done. Richard disagrees, but I think she knows what she's getting into. I think why not? Why not?
I think the issue is we saw her actually struggle on the sleds in the only race she did this year. And it's just that lack of specific training. And this is not a field you can have that again. I agree. I think she's going to go with it. But she's got to have if she has a good sled day, there's nothing that can't happen.
You think somebody like Chris Roglosky, a multiple world champion in different things, hasn't been doing something there between I don't think
she hasn't been doing nearly enough sled work. I don't think she cares enough about this to give up all the other things she loves.
She had a really long season.
Jack, do you know at some point you live near here? You're in the Colorado.co whatever.
Yeah, she's more Denver.
Castle Springs, yeah. She's in Denver. Yep.
You guys are on the same team, you and Rich. What's going on with this?
Yeah, fill us in, guys.
Unaware.
Anybody know what she's been doing in her training? I started following her on Strava just to try to figure it out. Like, just to try to figure it out. I was curious. I've learned absolutely nothing. In fact, I'm more confused.
I don't think she has a formula. I think she's like, today I feel not that strong. I'm going to lift some heavy weights. Today I feel like I could run a bit longer. I'm going to run a little bit longer. She hasn't been on the trails, right? Like, she's just like, she can't. So she's definitely been in the gym more than she has been before High Rocks in LA, which wasn't that long ago. I guess it's 6-7 weeks. 7-8 weeks. So if she put everything in the High Rocks, she could be in much better High Rocks shape.
And
for sure.
You have to make note that she was still good enough to make the top 30. Cause look, there's no 14th or 15th seed in here. So she even with her like bare minimum to get in via LA, she is still putting out. And I think that, you know, she realizes this race does matter. So I think that she's going to show up. I have her probably losing to Alondra and Tara, so I have her in sixth, just to be transparent.
This field is really good.
I know.
It's like a national series race. Fifth or sixth is the old second or third.
And like, we haven't even mentioned Camilla Massa, who beat her in LA, who
big build,
who trains just for this. Big build, like, is very experienced here, making progress. Yeah, like even like Bridget Brown, like, she's pushed her chips into here. She's learning more as an athlete as she's continuing to go. She's very talented. I think she's probably the best like athlete in this field. But like, how well she's gonna, like, I don't think Chris is just gonna like jump past her without like a fight. Like, she's gonna have to fight for every single spot all the way up until like 10th. So like, if she finishes 10th, I'd be like, yeah, there's a lot of good people in this field. If she finishes 6th, I feel the same. It's like, man, she ran really, really well. But I don't know.
So a question for the panel. We talk about Meg's ceiling and we talk about Lauren a lot. Is Meg getting the benefit of being a cleaner looking athlete when she competes? For having crisper form, more of a classic running stride, for having the CrossFit frame and the movement patterns of a really like casual looking effort, where Lauren is obviously, or she looks to be thrashing herself at all times. And she's a little more all over the place with her form, not necessarily in a bad way. She just has a lot of movement when she does things. So she always looks aggressive, and Meg looks in control. And we always say that, you hear people on commentary about Lindsay, oh, she's so comfortable right now. Well, cause she looks clean when she runs. And Meg has that same clean competition style where she just has economy of movement, but we sometimes mistake that for she's not being pushed. So are we giving Meg's potential based on her physical appearance? And are we saying that Lauren maybe doesn't have as much talent as her because Lauren thrashes in her form a little bit more? Are we falling victim to that? Or is that the narrative of the sport?
No, because the results that Meg has already proven, I think, previously. I could see what your argument for sure, that whoever looks the most relaxed while doing it the fastest is
right.
Clear. Yeah, it's easy to point at that, but her results follow, right? So I don't know. And you always think too, like with the learning curve, she's still like a freshman when it comes to all this. She's in racing season number one. So then you also project, right? Like, what is she capable of? Cause we don't even really know yet. And so I think it's all factors, but I think the form, the way she looks, which I agree is fluid. I think it's one of the last ones in this for me anyways. I don't know. It's a good point, but
yeah, I agree with you, Kirk. That's kind of how I feel about it. And Bracken, you like the movement piece probably more than most, like when identifying talent and identifying how people are doing out there. But I think more the results, like, oh my gosh, she came in and like broke the world record her second race, one deca mile, like running away. Like, what is she capable of? She's like, what's our dude's name? Number one pick this year, French dude, Wembanyama. What is Victor? She's a Victor Wembanyama of High Rocks Bosa? Women's. Hmm?
I think it's Wiambosa, isn't it?
What? Leandro Barbosa? No, it's Wembanyama.
Leandro Barbosa. All I'm saying is that we hear about Meg a lot. What we hear about Lindsay is, oh, it looks easy. She looks so comfortable. She's not even trying. You don't hear anyone say that about Lauren.
I don't think any of the other women really look like that. Almost all of them that are good at this sport look like they're fighting most of the time in the pain cave, miserable, sweaty hair stuck to the side of their face and freaking red line city. They're all the face stennings of High Rocks. They all look like that, except maybe Meg and one or two more, right? Like, isn't that kind of what it seems Chris to take on the women's smiling. Side?
We need to see a little bit more Michaela. She seems like she can move pretty well and kind of go. Yeah.
Let's just compare it to the men's side, though. Does Hunter McIntyre look fast? No. Does he get results? Yes. Fair. I don't think it matters. Results are results. She's just the hunter on the women's side.
So Bracken, you picked Megan Lauren to tie, I think, and then Alondra for third. Jack, you were Lauren, Meg, Michaela, Kirk, Meg, Lauren, Alondra, and I was Meg, Lauren, Linda Meyer. We need to get some graphics up here, like they do with the Sunday when all the like there's like 20 dudes on
helmets on flash up. Yeah.
Helmets flash up. I need to put this.
I mean, you can just do a live. Oh, boo. We don't need that.
Does it look
that
right
to be blurred out.
You guys are the most boring football team in the playoffs this year.
What? Are you serious?
I fall asleep watching you guys.
Because we're killing everybody. Because the game's over before it starts.
157 passing yards.
Only when we have to, because then they rush for 300. We got three running backs out there all getting 100. And not even Jalen out there. Those outside threats. Are you serious?
You're just running a high school offense. I just don't.
You're picking the chefs?
I picked, I thought it was going to be Niners Bengals. So just,
same here.
I clearly have no read on this.
You're just going to run a sim in Madden for on Sunday and be like, sick.
No, hey, I'm just going to watch our replay over and over.
Who are you guys picking? That's what we got to pick next. Spreads at 1.5. Kirk, football is what we're talking about. American football.
He's so disrespectful to Kirk's sports acumen.
Not me.
It's unbelievable.
That right there was.
That was.
I'm usually the one who's saying
that was left field. That was like Bracken going at Jack earlier about his podiums this year. That felt like it.
That was an attack.
This is race week. We're a little bit edgy right now. we're fired up. We're like a tiger pacing. Like a lion stalking the Milwaukee streets.
A Minnesota lion. A butternut Minnesota lion. Got my map up here still.
That's Wisconsin, you idiot.
Oh, damn it.
Race week. We can't be held accountable for our actions.
Let me move this over. Yeah. All right. On to the dudes. Are we picking football now?
Men.
Dudes. Chiefs. Dudes. Okay. I think we covered the women pretty thoroughly. Any other
last? All I know is I'm rooting hard AF for the Chiefs now. So get out of here, Rich.
Well, good.
I don't want Mahomes to do well because I want Brady to kind of maintain his aura.
Oh, my God. You're rooting for Brady.
But that means I would have to root for Philly, which means I don't want Philly to win.
I cannot believe Philly did not try to pick up Nick Foles before the trade deadline, just in case.
Just to have him out there. Just to have him in the showers. It's good for morale. Yeah. Dude's got a statue out in front. I had something to say. Oh, I met a Minnesota fan. I know you guys neither are Vikings fans, but people are from all over here in Denver. And he was like, "Your fans are the scum of the earth." And do you remember when the Vikings came into Philly in 18, and the Philly fans were mean to him, and all the Minnesota people were like, "I don't like it. These people are mean." It's like, did you think they were going to be nice? I don't know. They thought we were playing a sport, and that's not the case.
You guys have never pretended to be anything you're not.
Huh. Yeah.
Exactly. Go Birds. On to the dudes. So we have 8 athletes who raced, or yes, no, less than that, 7 athletes who raced at the European Championship. So it's going to be a bit of a different field. Like the women's up front was very similar, but we're going to have the podium from European Championships coming over. And then we're adding in Americans, Dylan Scott, Ryan Kent, and Colin Stiefert coming in 14th. And then it's a bunch of guys I don't know anything about. How are we feeling about this?
Let's do the North American versus other count here. We got a pretty good ratio here as well, don't we? Because that was a big point of
it's only four content. Dudes. It's nine. To
I
four.
Also
it's
like how Kent is just known by one name. Just Kent.
And Megiddo.
Kent and Megiddo too. That's oh, how yeah, I know right. them.
I can't decide if Blecken's my best friend or worst enemy.
Bracken Blecken.
Blecken.
You guys
I kind of want to really root for him, and I kind of want him to stay off my name. I don't know which one it is.
I was telling somebody you were my. Them. I was telling somebody you were my partner, Bracken.
Yeah.
And they did. They were like, "Who is?" They didn't know who you were. Which yeah. I was like, "Oh, that's nice. Take you down a peg."
Well, who is this person?
I'm not telling you.
I mean, in this race.
No. Like just like a friend of mine who does high rocks.
Yeah. I mean that tracks.
She was like, "I don't. Is that a real name that you said?" I was like, "That's a name. That's a name that exists." Like,
this is the point of the podcast where Rich starts being mean to everybody.
Well, you mentioned Philly. It just started.
Rich, to back you up, I did a coaching call with someone about a year ago, and they asked if I'd ever done OCR on it.
Oh, nice.
they knew that I was recommended to them by someone, and so we got on a Zoom call, and I assumed they listened to the podcast or whatever. Like, so do you do OCR? Have you ever done one? Said, no. Like, no, that's Robert work. Killian you're thinking of.
I've had that twice in the last year, like a random referral that they don't listen and they're out of the realm. It's happened to me twice. I took no offense. I don't think your ego could handle it, but mine is so big.
You just tell about the Atlas. Dented. What was it, Jack? The Atlas.
Atlas race. Yeah.
The world
champion. Oh, OCR Warrior first place short yes. course. 2014,
you fade
Ohio.
Fast in the sporting world.
When you do monkey bars by like tapping them all as you jump past.
Yep. What have you done for me lately, Bracken? That's the world we live in.
I like that,
you're
though.
If, find out.
If people come for coaching that aren't coming because you were a good athlete, it means that they care about you as a coach. And I think that is a positive.
It's a positive. And I kept telling myself that over and over, but my pillow didn't get any drier.
But you didn't make the sale because you hung up because you had to go figure out. You had to go look in the mirror for a while.
Said, this isn't going to work.
Lead us, Rich.
This is ironic. We start the episode out railing on dogs. He turns out he has a dog and he doesn't have it under control.
He'll be on a leash. That's for damn sure. That's for damn sure. And like, yeah, we got.
All right. So is Dylan Scott the number one ranked athlete? He's the number one seed. Does he come in as the favorite? Or are we looking at Alex or Kent? What's your spreadsheet say, Jack?
You got a spreadsheet?
Nah, he told me to take that spreadsheet and shove it up, you know where, last time. So
I can't believe you're not a baker. I can't believe you're cooking more. Yeah, Dylan's an interesting space here, right? Because like it's, I mean, I would think from a narrative standpoint, we would say Alex Ronkovich is probably the favorite. Mm-hmm. He won a big championship race. Dylan ran faster time than everybody here on a course where he was solo.
It looked easy. As easy as I've ever seen someone look doing a high rocks.
Was that fast across the board, that race? I didn't look at the results from them. And the women, did it track for the women too?
That was where Meg set the record, yeah.
Okay. So it's hard to tell.
Right.
It's hard to tell. It's probably like Colin Stiefer, who's 14th year, he ran like 61 mid, and then he ran like 63 high in LA. But he ran a different race. It wasn't because like, oh, course to course. He went out a little bit hotter in LA to see how he would fare.
Did the Rich Ryan.
He did the Rich Ryan. He's like, hey, I went out, ran my race. Let's do the opposite of that and see how that goes. So like, there's not a ton of evidence. Dylan's the only race he's run this year. We can't say like apples to apples anything, but so far it's been the fastest US race.
And he's ready for this. He has geared up for this. He does nothing else. No other racing. This is what he does. He's the most specifically prepared for this race out of the U.S. men.
How does he win a perfectly calculated race? If this race got out ahead of him, would it matter?
Yeah.
When it's out ahead of him, would it matter?
That's the thing. He can't. I mean, he can. Anybody can. But he shouldn't be aggressive on the sleds for the type of race that he has to run. Like, he's going to have to maintain contact, be probably more aggressive than he wants to be early, but not – not do what Meg has to do, what Michaela has to do, what Alondra has to do with Lauren, going for it from the jump. I think he needs to maintain contact and then close.
he's got to win between burpee broad jumps and farmer carry, because even though he's improved, he will not be the best at wall. Well, I shouldn't say that, because we've seen some of these top guys off. We don't have a dominant wall ball guy here.
They all stink.
Yeah. I take that back. In a normal field, he would have to have a lead coming into wall balls, but that's not necessarily true right now. The men's side is kind of a joke compared to the women's side on wall balls.
Yeah.
Not kind of. It is a joke compared
well
to the
behind,
side.
Well behind the women.
Yeah. Absolutely. I wonder how good Jordan Bryant is, if his surnames add up.
Huh. That is quick. Yeah, he must be probably just looking. Yemen knows.
Middle name's home. Jabbar.
Dude's post game's nice. So, but yeah, that's what Dylan was going to have to do. I mean, he is the top seed. I don't think he's going to think of himself as the favorite here. I don't think that's necessarily how Dylan rolls, or if that's going to be something that he wants to feel going into a race like this. But I think he's going to do well. There's no reason he's not. I don't think. When was the last time we saw Dylan do like blow up?
Does no one knows out? Work rate better than him.
Right.
I don't think anyone's as dialed into a very precise, like, that whole, I like to say, I'd like, by the end of us working together as coach athlete, I'd like an alarm to go off at 3 a.m. and someone says, you are racing for this duration, pick the perfect pace, go. And you could just snap into it. That's something I talk about with athletes sometime. I feel like he's the only person I know that could absolutely do that for any workout you put in front of him. He could just snap into it as long as it wasn't really, really spicy. Like, he just knows work rate. He's not going to run anyone else's race.
Now, you guys know Dylan better than I do. I've never met him nor have had any interaction with him. I get the impression everybody kind of likes him, roots for him. Nah. He's a hard worker. But for some reason, I still look at him as an underdog, and I don't know why. Even though he's number one on the list, and this is me speaking just from outside looking in. So tell me why I look at him as an underdog, and why is he number one on the list? Why am I looking at Dylan as an underdog? Why would it, Dylan making the podium would feel like he broke through to me?
I think if he was 200 pounds and he had the, if you just blanked him out and put an avatar of him up there that was 200 pounds and jacked, and you followed his exact time progression, you'd be like, this dude's here and he's going to be a problem. But because he looks like a cross country runner who found the weight room a little bit, they're like, he doesn't have a particular strength. We can beat him. It's fine. I think it's just a visual narrative.
It's like the opposite for Meg is what you're saying, yeah. Basically. I kind of agree.
Not on my end, not the way I look at it, because how he is.
Yeah, I'm not speaking for us.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I don't.
Because you don't think you don't think it's the way he looks, Kirk?
No.
Hmm.
I think it's just looking at results over time, thinking, I mean, what did he finish at Worlds?
Fifth.
Oh,
and then like sixth the year before.
And he won 58th this year.
Yeah.
So
I forgot about fifth.
And he's young.
That's on me.
I think he's 25 to 26. He's young.
If we said he's mid-20s, has been sixth and fifth at Worlds, and then just PR'd by 2 minutes, we'd be like, it's going to be
Kent. He's on the podium. Yeah.
Kent's going to take it to him, or he's going to take it to Kent, but that's the battle. And Dylan doesn't get that respect. Nor does he want it. Deep down, he doesn't want it.
He don't want it.
Then he won't get it. Not from here.
No.
So is this a race where Dylan could go and gap the field on the back half, take a lead and win by 30 seconds? Like, could that actually happen? Is that where he's at? We don't know. Like, this is a like, we got to find out now that he's head to head with some decent competition. Is he a real contender now? That's what we're waiting on, basically.
I think it could happen. I think it would take the field by surprise. I think if Dylan got off the rower and passed Kent on that run, leading it to Farmers, and then was just able to, I think it would take everybody by surprise in the field. I don't think that they are anticipating seeing him at the end. That's how I have no insider information on how anyone thinks about Dylan, but I would think that would be a surprise to the field.
But Bracken kind of alluded to it, where there's no like ridiculous closer in the men's field. So he just has to hang around and he actually has a chance.
Ronkovich proved he can win a race.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do anything special. He kind of ran the Dylan Scott race. Yeah. He just did everything well. Yeah. Kent's the only one in here with a scary skill set. He's the only one in here that doesn't mind going out really hard and do what he did to Hunter last year. So if he can pull it off, he should win. But if he cracks doing it, which is a good chance because it's Hyrox, then I think Dylan's the guy who suddenly could find himself gapping the field if Alex isn't right there with him trying to do the same thing.
Let the field break itself and play Chris Roglaski at the World Champs last year and back clean up, come across first. That's how it would happen.
Because he's not going to fade.
It would be so hard to pass Ryan Kent after Kent broke Roncovic, Sandbach, and Vinish. He would be like feeling himself big time, and he will fight to the death. That would be really hard for him to win that way.
Kent will have to break himself, I think.
Yeah, and if he has the lead that late, I don't see it.
I don't know. I'm not saying Dylan will do it. That's his path to victory. Kent breaks the field and himself in the process.
Rich, what's the insight on Kent's fitness? I know you guys have been training together.
It's good. Better than LA for sure. Yeah, he's fit. He's right. I don't know exactly what that means in terms of like how it's going to translate to High Rocks compared to how it was last year. But he's not off of his game by any means.
He's not going to finish 11th is basically what we're saying.
He's very similar to Hunter in that the best thing for him before a championship is a poor performance. Because he'll just live in that feeling for a couple months and just stay in the lab and then come out and smash.
I think Magida is in that situation too.
I feel like Magida, you kind of know where you're going to get from right around 60 flat, 60 and change every race. If it's a fast course, if it's a slow course, that's just kind of what he ends up being. It's no fault to his own, but that's kind of where he's at most performances.
I think the blueprint for Magida here could be to like sit on Dylan and then ride his way to the podium. Because he needs to get an automatic qualifier. He went for that. He went out aggressive in Euros and he kind of paid for it. Where he is an athlete who, when he runs his own race, he's dangerous. And I think he is capable of running like 59 low, under 59, if he does hit everything the way that he wants to hit it and the way that he feels comfortable doing it. So like, I think if he sits on Dylan and Dylan makes the podium, then Magida makes the podium.
They should just work up through the field together. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good strategy. Do you see anybody who's just a better runner at this point, who's just going to break away? Like, I don't think anyone's dumb enough to like stupidly push the pace at this point.
In this field?
Yeah.
Is Rich Ryan on the list?
Not in there. No, Alphonse. Nobody. Alphonse is in there, though.
I truly think Kent is going to, can, if he wants to, be that person. But I really think that from station three on, Dylan's the best runner in the field. I think that he just has an ability to not have his stride change ever. And Kent has the same thing. But if Kent cracks at all, I think Dylan could have the fastest last five runs in the entire field. I think he has that potential.
Probably will anyway.
And that's where with someone like, because Dylan, although his running, his mod is fantastic.
Fantastic.
Magida's top end is scarier. Right. So like, and that's what I was thinking too. Like is Dylan really going to outrun anybody on here? He's going to outlast people, but like, can he make an assertive move during a run and just be people?
Yeah. I think watching him the one race this year and then watching some of his workouts, I think he's to the point where he can start to weaponize his run a little bit. He hasn't yet, but he hasn't had an opportunity to yet. I think he's to the point where he can make back half moves where I wouldn't be shocked if we see like a 338 from him on the back half of the course, if he's in a position to do so.
Bracken, when was the last time you used the term weaponize your run?
Rich Ryan
said that.
How'd that turn out?
Good.
Super well.
So maybe Dylan should do it.
It's that easy. Just freaking do it.
Just say it into existence.
Say weaponize, Dylan.
Just weaponize your running, dummy. Yeah.
I think those who are in the best position are who raced within the last 2 to 4 weeks and didn't win, meaning they're fresh. They may have had a fitness bump because of the big effort and their mind is perfectly calibrated now for what's to come. AKA those who ran at Euros a few weeks ago and did not win. It's hard to be Roncovic and come back and duplicate that performance, I think. But if you take like Wenish or Sandbach or any of those guys, I think those are the guys that have the chance to break through. Now you have somebody who hasn't raced in a while, like Kent or Dylan. And I'm not saying they can't come out and smash, but I like just like Meg coming in third. Like, I don't know. There's another approach to that. Like something about like a big stimulus 2 to 4 weeks beforehand, really being dialed in and now really going and actually firing on all cylinders on race day. So I look at like those guys like Tim and Michael thinking like, okay, what are they going to do now? I only expect a better performance. How many weeks later is it? A month, four, three? How far long ago was it?
3 weeks.
I think that's a sweet spot. So those guys, I think, are going to be super dialed. And we haven't really talked about them much. And so they can make everybody, they could break a Kent and they could run away from Dylan and they could have the chips on their shoulder and say, Rakovic isn't better than me. Like, I'm going to go and get him this time. I don't know. I just think there's some power to those positions and the fact they raced 3 weeks earlier. I don't think they're more tired because of it. I think they're better because of it now. And so that's where that's how I would start really giving a lot of like eyes on those guys.
Yeah. And discounting Europe. Are we discounting Europe?
Well, I'm glad we brought it up. I mean, we haven't had a chance to talk about the American athletes because we didn't really get to see
anybody. There aren't enough.
Right. We didn't get to see many of them in the European Championships. But yeah, someone like, I mean, Rankovic is pretty aggressive as a racer. He's really good on the ski erg. I don't think he's necessarily that fast, but he can handle what his mod's probably also really strong. But he's going to be there with every single station and be able to roll.
So Alex was 12 seconds behind Ryan Kent last year in Las Vegas at the championship. He just won European Championship. Like, there's no reason he won't belong up front in the later half of the race.
There was a weird thing in that. Yeah, the minute penalty, was it, Bracken, that Kent received?
Oh, yeah. And Hunter.
Off of a length of burpee broad jumps. Length would have probably taken 20 seconds. But it's also that many more burpees. Let's call it 30 seconds that he beat him by.
Yeah, he was still a minute ahead of Tim at that point. The separation.
I like what you said about having the people that like Arankovic, for example, he won a dogfight, and that's tough to replicate a couple times in a row. Like sit and kick, you can get on a roll with that. Lead out from the front, you can get on a roll with that. We've seen that in sports, but knowing it took everything and it came down to the last station and I have to best case scenario, go through all of that again and somehow manage to pull it off again. And now there's that little piece of, are the sleds tougher and travel? I think it's hard to replicate a dogfight. So I do think Alex will still take third or top three because I think he's that good. He's shown it in Vegas. He's shown it everywhere he's gone. He's always up there. He's just steady Eddie and he wins when he's the best person there. But I think it's going to be tough on Sandbach. Sandbach?
I think that's how we're saying it.
Sandbach? I think it's going to be tough on him, Sandbach, Batch, because he was in a dogfight too and he's been even less consistent. So I think you're right. I think it's the people that avoided the fight, but got the taste of what needs to happen.
All I know is when I've ended up on the wrong side of a dog fight, I come back ready to rip heads off. And if I win that dog fight, it is tough to dig into that well again, sometimes that quickly. We only have so many matches throughout the season to win those dog fights. I truly believe that. And so it may factor in with the travel.
Yeah. That's what Vijay talked about after his Big Bear win against Atkins, the head to head on that bucket carry. He's like, can't do that every week. So
right.
Yeah, you're right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you think that the fact that there are 11 Europeans here, that's going to bring some comfort as opposed to like when Megiddo went over to Europe, he's like, well, I don't really know who I'm comparing myself against. I'm the only American versus now you've got 2/3 of the field Europeans. You're used to facing them. You face most of them as of 3 weeks ago. Do you think that that's going to be a little bit of a comfort level regardless of how travel goes? Cause you know how you stack up relative.
I could only speak to myself, but I think it's worse because when I've traveled abroad and I've struggled, it's hard to frame your struggle. So it's like, well, I'll keep working hard. This person might be really good or not. I don't know. But when we've raced at home in Killington or Tahoe and Albin came over the first year and really gapped almost all of us except Cody and Ryan for the most of the race. And then in Tahoe, when you'd have international guys and you're sitting there next to guys you've competed against and you know are good and you're all looking ahead at someone like, who is that guy? He's beaten all of us. What's happening today? It could be really tough for a group of those three right there, Alex, Michael, Tim, to be looking up at two or three Americans running up front like, this didn't happen overseas. What's happening? I think the opposite can really be true. You have all your boys there, and if one person smashes you all, you realize this reflects on all of us at one time and it's demoralizing.
This race is also meaningless to these three. They are the three who took the podium spots before. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't matter. And I think that
money hungry, greedy,
a little bit for sure. I think these athletes are wired a little bit different than US based athletes, where we seem to be a little bit more ego driven. Like, let's go over there and smash. I think they're just coming over here to maybe make a paycheck and just to have fun. You know,
I think it's a little more personal.
I don't think so.
When you were racing, the Instagram live comments got a little dicey with US versus Europe, and Tim was in there and maybe one of the other one was, and they were talking about rock zones and we're sick of hearing about the sled when you guys do these. They have the same conversations in reverse over there. I think they have a lot to prove.
They weren't saying that shit when they took a plate off at World Championships and they were like, asked everybody if they want it back on. Only Roncevic was like, put that heavier. Everyone else like, you know, maybe lighter sleds are more fair.
I would have said the same thing.
I was. This kind of reminds me of TMX. It turned into an OCR versus CrossFit thing. Yeah. Everyone was kind of cheering for their guys. That's what I remember.
Well, the problem is
East versus West.
We're not going to get
we're the problem. We feed that narrative more than anybody.
Yeah.
Who are we? Exactly.
All the other conversations are over there.
We're the ones fueling their fire.
HYROX has been doing those episodes of the Elite 15. They interviewed Tom Hogan, who I love. I think he's great. He's an Irish athlete. And he was like, yeah, I'll talk about the courses being inconsistent, this and that. And he cited that the European wall ball targets are round and ours are square. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Hey, round targets are harder to hit. I confirm that.
I would throw it at a 2x2. I'd rather have a 2x2 target and give me those lighter sleds. And I think that's fine. Yeah. Round target. Fuck out of here.
Our form sucks more wall balls a lot of the time. I'd have given them that.
Undeniable. Yep.
They all, everyone's.
Really anyway, bad. I think it is more personal than they might be letting on. I think it would, they've got, just like Magida went over there carrying our hopes, they're coming over here like, let's go to their turf and beat them and finally shut them up that we can't do sleds.
Mm-hmm. But outside, I mean, it's like not a fair representation of the US versus the world here, because these all, everybody after Magida, who is European, are a different class of athlete.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like I don't think that will prove anything, because like the lowest that Roncevic could realistically finish is like sixth.
But wouldn't that, if you take your top three over there and put two ahead of them here without some of our top guys there, I think there will be an answer this weekend.
I think they're wired a little bit different. I don't think that the ego part and the like, let's shut them up type of thing is on their mind as much as it would be if a US athlete going over there, in my opinion.
So what do you think? What are we going to see?
Doing some predictions.
Are you coming out on course like that priest in the marathon if something's going wrong?
What? Oh, like in the Olympics, you mean?
Are you tackling Roncevic if he starts gapping someone?
I'll tackle Patrick Grew if he's winning. I'll be like, everything that I thought is wrong. But if that happens.
No, Alphonse, that's the guy who you've called out a few times.
I didn't call him out. I'm just saying he was like 31st.
You had a questionable 15 seed, yeah.
It's legit. It's a legit 15 seed. But that's what I mean. Like,
so what do you got?
I'm picking Ken.
And then?
Dylan.
And then?
Sandbach.
Ooh,
I think
he turned a corner.
He is the only one come over here who really has something to prove after imploding again. He wants to race again, right? Like he reached out to, he initially said he didn't want to. Him and Jeffrey Voisin are the two who weren't on this list when we talked about it in previous episodes. And he reached out. He's like, hey, I want another crack at this. Like, I think he thinks he can beat Alex and Tim. He almost did. And he's the one who's going to be willing to go to that place. Alex and Tim, I don't think necessarily are going to.
I think Michael turned a corner once he completed those wall balls and still hung on for the third place.
Took one straight right and he's back.
Yeah. Just jacked the rig.
See, I think Alex thinks he's in line to win Worlds this year.
Yeah.
I think that's his goal for the year. And I think he's here to prove something. So I could be wrong. I've never talked to the guy in my life. So I think it's Kent, Dylan, and Alex.
Okay. Because Dylan, I mean, in that scenario, Kent would break Alex and Dylan would gobble him up.
Kent, Alex, then Dylan.
Oh, about that. Okay. Never mind. NM.
Either one. I don't care about the order. Those are my three. But Kent for the win, please.
Kent graphic. What would Kent's graphic look like?
Didn't Sandbatch, is that what we decided on?
Did
he,
just,
he just ran out of steam. It does at have the a end, D, right? Like he was looking real fine. He was looking real good. And he just sort of fizzled just a bit at the end, right? Like, is that, is he always been weak on the lunges compared? Like, has he lost time or was that just an engine thing? Like, he just
doesn't always get there.
It's always, it's mental.
Well, I understand that. Okay. So
it's not physical.
I know his deal. So, okay. So you think physically he has the capability of, he wouldn't lose time on the lunges every time, no matter how he's doing. That was specific to Euros. That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Wall balls,
I know wall balls are mental.
Well, I know wall balls are his thing.
I think they're lunges are physical. Be. I don't think you can fake lunges.
I think he doesn't come from a traditional endurance background. So his stay power is up for interpretation. We haven't necessarily seen him close really well. He goes out hard, asserts himself, mm-hmm. and usually does lose ground in the last 2 to 3 stations. Yeah. Is it?
I thought he ran within a couple seconds of your 8K time in Las Vegas. He was 29 mid or so. I thought he's a fast guy for sure, but that doesn't necessarily mean the stations he has state power on. He's just
Hold on the run. Yeah. And he did, him and I were like in like fourth, fifth or mm-hmm. a fifth, yeah. sixth. And then Dylan passed us both. And I faded worse than him.
So here's why I think Ken wins. Both Michael and Alex and Tim, they are strong skiers. And they're used to getting off the ski, and they're going to have Kent right there with them off the ski. No one's going to give an inch on that ski, which is going to lead them into the sleds together. And just like we've struggled going over there with the higher cadence, less breaking of the lighter sled, where it's a different style of sled pushing and it blows you up just the same, but differently. Mm-hmm. They're going to have less experience with that heavier sled, more brakes, really have to manage that. And then Kent's going to come off with a head of steam, and they're going to come off feeling something that they haven't felt in their legs before. Much like Magida came off, he's like, the sled was light and it was fast and my legs were blown up. They're going to feel that same thing. So their skiing, I think, is going to qualify them for a level of sled beatdown that they haven't felt before.
And I think that's fair. And we talk about the sleds a lot, and I don't think that the sleds that they have, I don't think it makes this race any easier, but it does make it faster, right? Like, and if you try to go fast on our sleds that are heavy, like you can't come back, right? So if they try to match, and they might not know, be like, okay, take short breaks throughout.
It's the second restart on the sled that you're like, this thing is terrible. The first one you can kind of get through on getting pumped, where over there, the whole thing by everyone's account doesn't feel terrible, but it allows you to go unbroken and work really hard. And then your legs are full.
It's more like the torque tank.
Yeah. Yeah. You can work yourself into the ground over there where the sled works you to the ground over here.
Yes.
You arrive at the same point, just faster or slower.
Correct. And like that is it's more mentally daunting for the heavier ones because it takes longer. It's more time spending pushing or like recovering from pushing. Mm-hmm. Maybe it takes the same amount of time pushing. Let's just say whatever.
It's a type of training too.
It's type of training.
You train yourself to go unbroken and fill up and fill up and fill up and run. And the other is you train yourself to work hard and stop and hard and stop
to manage
and it's a different feel.
That's the main thing that's the difference between these two. I don't think they are necessarily faster at the sleds or better at the sleds or we are worse at them or whatever. It's just that like they don't train for these super heavy ones and we don't train for lighter ones. So that like we probably would meet in the same place if it was standardized, but it's not.
Yeah. So they're all going to ski fast and they're all going to hit the sleds at the same time. And then it's not fair, which is okay. It wasn't fair at NORAMs. I mean, at Euros, and now it's not going to be fair over here. You're each going to get the feel of each other.
What are the odds that they take that plate off?
Zero.
Zero this time.
Definitely higher than zero.
Rich and Bracken, you guys will be there. If they take a plate off, let them know right there. Just
if they didn't do it over there, why would they do it?
Because they have this, the like sleds are either like newer on the bottom or their carpets are different or whatever. Like, but they don't push the same. That's why they took it off. Yeah. The weight
Yeah, but they made the announcement this year that we have standardized it. We won't have to do these things anymore. Everyone gets tall.
They haven't been here.
Everyone gets tall poles. Everyone gets the same plate. It's fine. So now they have no reason to do it. They had a logic last year. They don't have logic for it this year.
The race organizers came over here and pushed it in Vegas. They're like, that ain't right. They could come on. They haven't done that this year. This could be the same thing. They're like, still not right. Take it off.
10%.
Yes. Higher than zero.
All right, Kirk, who you got, or do you want me to go?
I don't mind. Yeah, Kent's gonna come out firing. And I'm going. I don't think travel treats people well. It doesn't treat me well. Which is, if it was even playing field with no time zone shifts and travel, I would be putting. I think Michael breaks through Sandbatch, but I don't think it's going to happen this time with the travel. So I think it's going to be Kent, Dylan, Scott, and then I'm going Sandbatch for third.
No one says Tim. No one says Megita.
You haven't had me go, but yeah.
Jack, you didn't go?
No.
Was I talking that whole time?
Yeah. That's why I just went, Kirk, do you want me to go or do you want to go? So
yeah. Just talking over to you, not listening to you. Jack, who do you got?
All good. Yeah, Ryan Kent's going to win. He's licking his chops this year. No Hunter. This is his chance to win this world championship. He wants it. I don't think he's in peak form, but he's in a good enough form at the moment to win this from what I've talked to him. I think Alex Rontrovic, he just won European championship, sub 58. He has a world championship on U.S. soil in the past. No disrespect to Dylan, but Alex he's the closest athlete to Kent at the moment. I do think home field advantage is going to make a difference. Dylan, his number one seed, he's there for a reason. He's run a fast time on U.S. soil, even after adjusting for all the rock zones and stuff. He's going to get third. I think he's just going to edge out Tim.
So Dylan third?
Yep.
I think looking at it as a whole, though, as far as Kent goes, like think about what Kent needs to accomplish. Like he's not even qualified for the world champs yet. And he's down on the list in 11th. And he's got an ego, as he should. Like, if anybody on there is the most motivated, everybody's going right to Kent for a lot of reasons. Like, dude needs to get a time at minimum. Mm-hmm. If anything, podium. Like, who else really is feeling that pressure? Megita, maybe. But most of these other guys have thrown up a time, right? Everybody, Tim Wenish and up, are in, basically, off a time, right? And probably will be in.
Yeah.
Oh, they're definitely in.
Right.
Jeff.
Well, yeah, they're in. Well, because they've taken top three, but like
Voisin is like a 59 mid. He usually finds a Spanish race to run really fast in.
What's it going to take?
I think it's going to take like 59.10, sub 59 for sure.
Yes,
but we were looking at there's a huge block of guys right at 59.30.
How did Kent
run here last year?
Oh yeah, fucking yeah. Bill Wills.
How did he sneak it? Because he just did a race. I know you. Now salty level's going up to 6.
What just happened here? What'd I miss?
It was at 6. It's at 7 now.
Okay, 7.
We're fine.
Jack, explain. Yeah.
No, it's just that race that we past weekend that we were talking about with your boy in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Seb, Sebastian Conrad Hawkinson.
Oh, speaking of which, there's a guy online. He's a rowing specialist. He's done some pretty inclusive breakdown of Hyrox videos.
Huh?
Where he breaks down people's rowing, but doesn't rip you apart for it. And he even states, I understand you have to use a little bit different form because it's in the middle of a Hyrox. And he did one.
How'd he do?
Rode 4:30 after a 9-minute burpee broad jump.
No.
So, and like, I don't
hear it. I want to hear it.
I don't wish that upon anyone, but it's just a great reminder that a rowing specialist gets to the point we all get to where you can't use your strength anymore because whatever gives you your strength is gone. It is gone. It has left the building. And now you're just like all the rest of us. And we saw that happen with, what's his name? Kirk.
Yeah. Your guy, like a all conference runner, dude.
Yeah. A guy from, Platteville. Was it?
Are we talking about
conference record holder from Platteville
running Hyrox?
Yeah.
You talking about Matt Gruse from Oshkosh?
Yeah. Oshkosh. Matt Gruse.
He's going to be there.
Yeah, so his first one, he skied like 3:26, and then he rode like 4:20 or something because the sleds he was on there for like.
And he's a national record holder on the rower.
Yeah, for his age group. Yeah.
For his age group,
he's on the rower,
and he did a 4:20.
Nice way to throw out the age group qualification right there.
I mean, he's
a 3:57 miler, 3:58 miler in college,
and got worked in Hyrox. I love it. That's great. Not for
he's,
him.
He's been back. On it. He's coming back. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, and he's a monster. It just goes to show that, like, whatever you're great at, if it's not the first event, you can't use it. And so I don't wish bad on any of these people, but it's great. I love that he actually did one, and now he'll be able to use that in his Hyrox, like rowing breakdown tutorials moving forward, understanding what it's like to come into something trashed. Like, it doesn't matter how trashed you get in a rowing workout. You're not as trashed as if you just spent 9 minutes on burpee broad jumps after probably a 10-minute sled.
9 minutes.
You know? And maybe that time's awful. Maybe he meant the sled was 9 minutes, but it gets you to a place that a standalone workout can't get you to.
Totally. Mm-hmm. True or false? Europeans finished 10th through 15th.
What true. Do you mean?
I think Colin Stephens.
Oh, so no U.S. Shot. Athlete finishes outside of the top 10?
Yeah. Obviously yeah. True. What, yeah. Easy answer.
Stiefert's going to land shark this. I think he's going to wind up like 6th or 7th.
He's going to.
He's so strong.
He could definitely race with someone like Jeffrey Voisin.
Yeah. I think he's going to close the last three stations all the way in and be top 10 for sure. I think top 7, I'm going to bet on him going.
I think with how hard Bracken's going to be rooting for Stefan Bleken. That might land him on the podium.
Yeah, or just jeering him. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah. Bracken Bleken, when they get married.
New name.
I think the big question everyone wants to know, let's say that they just decide we're having 16 people. Now you're like, sorry, Bracken, I'm not doing teams with you anymore. Rich, you step in this race. Where do you finish?
I like it.
First of all, I would support that. I'd step out in a heartbeat.
I couldn't do it. We got the gear coming.
I'll hop my car instantly, Bracken, and
yeah.
Put on a reinforced running t-shirt.
What?
I would support him.
I'm just kidding.
To go do that. No. I would say you have to.
I don't know.
Yeah, we got mod yeah, that's coming.
Yeah. Are those in the mix? Those in the works? Got the splits are showing up today. So
maybe split shorts and mod singlets.
We're gonna be looking fresh, yeah. Dude. We're gonna be looking fresh. I don't know. Somewhere in that 3 to 5 range, 2 to 5 range, 2 to 6. I don't know.
You've trained with Bent. Is he notably better than you right now?
We haven't gone side by side in anything, but I would imagine I'm still kind of going up after just some inconsistencies.
Rich just needs to get to the world championship. We saw what happened with Deca a couple months before. Who cares about Palm Beach? Rich just needs to get there. Just prove it.
I was hoping for this race just so I could know. Kind of run a race and shoot for third.
We all know it. We spent 2 hours.
Rich had a big build. Tough to come back after a big build.
It was a huge build. Yeah. Now freaking. And then the holidays. We just moved. I'm going to get a chew wall.
Katrina.
Yeah.
How's that look?
It's good. It's a start.
All right. Let's do it.
Feels derivative.
Potentially. Men's doubles.
Predict your time. Predict your time, give or take, plus or minus 10. Give you 30 total second window deviation to center.
I want to know Jack's prediction first.
Jack, hit us with a prediction.
I don't know who's in it besides you guys, but I'm picking
time.
First.
Time.
For clarification, what's the world record? So people
Bracken's
know for
be
reference.
The anchor.
52?
48 something.
48.
Oh yeah, I'm not just the anchor. I'm the anchor.
He's also the third leg
wrapped around the pier, cemented to the ocean floor.
Lake Michigan floor.
Like a 54-10.
54? I take that as disrespect.
Where's it going to go wrong, Jack? If it does.
Ski erg for Bracken.
He needs redemption from.
No, I did well on ski erg.
I know.
I was just dead after.
Yeah. Okay. So let me break this down. It all depends on the course. We don't have that info for 4 more days. I think you guys will collectively run. I think Bracken can hold like 550 pace probably. So I'll give you guys like a.
I'd be ecstatic if I hold 550.
Okay. So I'll give you like 29 and a half for your run, maybe 4 minutes rock zone just as a standard right there. So
and that's the problem. This is the slowest rock zone in history of the sport.
Runs were shorter last year.
Yeah. So this is now you're looking at like 33 and a half. And we said, you guys, if you and Callie did 20, 30 for your workout zones, you guys should be sub 20. Okay, maybe I'll revise that to 53-10.
Now, I went back and rewatched. Callie and I have a 145 sled pull, and that is inaccurate. We went 211, which is still very fast, still faster than any of the men's doubles team's seed performances. But there's an extra, what is that?
20, so now you're up to 21 minutes instead of 20-30.
Yeah.
For your workouts.
No, it didn't add that much. 26 seconds. Yeah, close. Let's call it, 21 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, that easy 145 numbers. Is not accurate.
Jack, do we know where they set that Rich world record?
You can't find it, huh? I see you searching.
I'm searching.
It was two studs did it, though.
It was Sandbach and Vinish.
Yeah, it was not like
not Vinish. He popped on up in our comments on Race Brain and said it's not Vinish. I think it's Vinish.
Oh, Vinish. Okay.
Bracken, if it goes wrong, where is it going to go wrong? By the way, 52-40 is my prediction.
Amsterdam 2022.
It ain't going wrong.
If it goes wrong, where is it going wrong, fellas?
Bracken. Coming off of burpee broad jumps, that run could get brutal. And then if it really goes wrong, that'll lead into the row being a tough row.
If the cement isn't cool enough for you, could it go wrong?
Yeah, probably. I did the first five stations on Saturday, and it was tough coming off the burpee broad jumps, and I was still able to row afterwards. So, it'll be that burpee broad jump row. That's that swing state right in there. And then, but the good thing is if it goes wrong, Rich just does a lot of work. He was third here doing the full race last year with pro weights. We're doing less weight, so we're not going to be running faster than he ran, and we're going to be doing less weight. So I can really lean on him if it goes wrong. The difference was last year I was bookending every station. This year, outside of one or two stations, he'll bookend every station. So I'm going to be able to do like 25% less work if needed than I did last year.
How much you guys winning by?
Can't tell. Don't know who's going. Moralia and Hinman are not going.
Ah,
I know. Wanted a piece of that.
Yeah.
Piece of that. So not sure. I think we could do 51.
So let's just go over that.
51 and change. Not going to run slower than 30 minutes.
I told Rich, we texted a little bit this weekend about it after the workout. I think that if we have an average to goodish day, we go 30 and 20.
And then so 50 minutes transition.
Plus and change. Then whatever the rock zone happens to be. And then we can go up from there. I don't think it can go. I shouldn't say that, but I don't think it can go worse than that because one of us is allowed to blow up and Rich can still keep working hard. So
what if Rich blows up?
We can't rule this out. 50-50.
It'll be great because then I get to run slower. I'm like, hey, let's just relax and then you can get back to work after this.
Yeah. Good idea.
Because he can relax at 5:50 pace and recover. So 30-20, 50 minutes of work is our slow end, and I think 48 is our high end.
Okay. I think you guys win by 2.5 minutes. I think it's a blowout. I think the whole place is going mod the whole time. I think the whole place is engulfed with you guys just out front.
And then I'm going to run 316 the first K and eat it.
Well, Victor Cruzado will run like a 250, so no need
He'll
to
be
worry
there.
About
yeah.
in the front.
So if Hinman and Miraglia were there, they've run 53-52 or 53-54. So 53-50.
Mike is just a house now. I don't think he can run like that, like how he used to be able to run.
No, that was at Vegas Worlds.
Right.
So that would have been – that's a legit team. I don't know who else is going to be. I was hoping we'd see them, but I don't know who we're going to see now.
We'll definitely see –
let me just go.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let me go over the splits. You guys tell me. So 27:36 is what Tim and Michael ran in their world record. You think he can hold 5:31 pace?
Oh, not a chance.
Add the rock zone in there too. Just blend them. They need to be
okay. Rock zone plus 255. I mean, that's still 30. Okay. So.
See, that's the difference. Callie and I had 5:41 of rocks.
But the runs were shorter there.
They were. But so even if you take 2 minutes off, that's still a minute slower. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough.
Regardless.
It's tough with setup.
Irregardless.
You guys think you're going 319 on the ski erg?
That's too fast.
I think 325 is a good number.
They were like 140 on that. Yeah, so we could probably.
We were 334 with Callie. I think we can go 325.
All right, 113 time calculator. On the sled. 113 on the sled push. Now we did that last episode.
Let me pull up what Callie and I were right quick. I like to just take that as our baseline. Because I become Callie, he becomes me. All right, so we were 127. So I think 120 is safe.
Yeah, because it's the same weight. It's the same weight as doubles.
Sled pull.
One what?
145.
And we were 211. I think two flat is very realistic.
With the 12 and a half meters instead of 25, I agree. 127.
Yeah, I mean, we were 211 with Kelly and I.
Burpee broad jumps 127.
We were 143 and I was severely compromised, and Callie will admit that's her slow station. So 130.
I do like five trade off, five next person. And then 1,000 meter row 335. That's kind of slow. I did some
not a chance
buckling in and stuff.
But that's not. Yeah. That's probably with transition and with like 10 seconds of transition in and out, but still that's like not crazy.
But if they switched rowers halfway through,
it's a lot of time.
They're probably hammering. They're probably doing 130
honest
mid.
And I think we're going to shoot for 140 mid.
If I were you, I'd just stick Rich on there the whole time. Don't even bother getting in and out.
Terrible idea.
Save yourself to the end.
I don't want to do that.
Terrible idea.
For me.
All right. Lunges 212.
See, we need Rich on wall balls and lunges. So like that rower, that's the thing, the rower swing. What's the swing on rowing from him doing the full thing to us switching and him resting?
And those runs after the row, like
it's a 10 second time difference. And you're talking like an extra 90 seconds of rest for both of us in those 10 second difference. That 10 seconds comes back on the next run and lunges like halfway through alone. So it's a balancing act.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's a good point. And then 336 on the wall, or 339 on the wall balls.
Wait, what was Farmers? Did we get that?
Oh, 115.
All right. Callie and I were 118. We can go faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
110.
Cool.
115.
Yeah. So maybe you're like 45 seconds slower than them collectively in the workouts, realistically. Then. Okay. We'll call a minute. And then I was going to say maybe a minute and a half on the runs.
90 seconds.
About rock zones. So yeah, you add like 2.5, 3 minutes to 48 and a half. And now you're 51 low.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then, I always throw an extra minute of rock zone because Chicago sucks.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see the winners at Dallas are Brandon Hughes, Lester Maxwell, Mark Vonhorn, Victor Quesada were second. They were right there in 55 mid. We're just going to give all of our doubles peeps a shout here. In Chicago, it was this group, the guys who got second to Megida and Mark Audet at DECA, Austin Tenislav and
Austin. Patrick.
Yeah. Austin, sorry. And Patrick Fitzgerald, I think. Paul Fitzpatrick. That doesn't make that much sense.
No.
So like we'll definitely, I would imagine we'd see them. Then we got a 55 mid, Jason Lobig. And Brett Gornick. You know those guys, Kurt? Oh, I thought you knew them. They were out of Chicago. And then the New York winners were...
I live in Minneapolis.
It's all the kind of the Midwest.
7 hours away. I should know them. It's like
you know that those guys that run mountains out in Gunnison, Rich?
You were making a gesture. Like you were like... Yeah. Kieran Williams and Sam Tooley. Sam's done... mixed doubles. I think he finished on the podium with mixed doubles last year, so maybe we'll see him out there. And yeah, he does. He won his.
He's done high rocks as well.
Yeah, for sure. But
yeah. We've got a whole pack of race brain suppositories that we're planning on handing out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With the purpose of what?
Delivering that suppository to people.
Giving them the suppository.
The contents is unknown.
It's just more of race brain is going to get up in there as well.
I understand. But if you were to make a race brain suppository, what would be in it?
Mod.
If there was mod, a mod gelatin.
Straight up mod.
Negative mod.
Sparkly mod.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. We got through it. We did great today. What we got on the running public this week?
We don't have our interview lined up for Friday yet, but we are going to. So I can't,
flux.
I can't promise you.
Q&A? One,
no. What did we do Tuesday? We
Q&A. long intro. And then we hit like 5 or 6 Q&A questions.
We had some personal things going on, like with our own training that we wanted to elaborate on. So we shared that for like the first half hour. And then the second half was like playing catch up on 30 Q&As I still have waiting to be answered. So we chipped away at a few. That's it.
Good on you guys getting those Q&As done.
Rich, I have a question for you.
For me.
Do I bring the alphas?
I thought you meant just bring the alpha. I was like, yeah, don't let Kirk alpha you like that, talking all much that louder. Bring the alpha. I don't want to bring 3 or 4 shoes, but it's looking like I'm going to have to bring 3 or 4. You can push them in alphas. When I pushed them in training, it ate my sock, the back of it somehow, just because the heel counter is so non-existent. If you think it would help, if you think it would make those legs feel good, how do you think it can handle those turns?
I mean, if it comes down to the turns, we're in trouble.
Well, I just don't want you tipping over. I don't want to be winning, and then all of a sudden you're up.
Bracken, you can throw them in the back of your car. Like, you can throw 20 pairs in your car.
I'm going to do like 6 rounds of sled and turning warm up. That's going to be my entire warm up for this.
I'd wear the Evo Jaws.
Bring them back.
Here's what I'm bringing. Meta Speed Sky.
Have a plan?
Puma Faster. I'll probably bring those alphas just to see if it's possible. I shouldn't. Shouldn't even bring them.
Bring
them. And then what's the backup to the backup? Something safe.
Endorphins.
Oh, I'll bring the RC Elite 2s.
Those are really high too.
They're stable.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I need cushion.
Do you have a plan in case something goes wrong, like Miriam's shoe?
I'm going to get down and tie them things.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up and run with it while I untie it. And then do a quick retie during the next station while we're resting, because we have rest opportunities.
What's the rule about bathroom breaks mid-race if one of you has to go?
I'm only allowed.
No, what's the, do you have to follow that person into there and like kind of like, oh, or
Badger dropped a comment and he said his marathon PR came with a 90-second pit stop, I think he said. Wow. He was impressed by your ability to
second poop
thoroughly sanitize your hands.
Yeah.
And then get back out on the course.
So you ran what? 2x21K with a 90-second rest?
I guess so. It sounds easy.
Yeah. That's just a big workout.
It sounds easy.
Yeah. Poop breaks are not restful. I just want to say that. I've done plenty of interval work where I'm taking like 60-second rest, 60-second rest. Heart rate's coming down to 120. You stop and pop a squat and you get done in 58 seconds. You pull up and go and your heart rate and breathing is not recovered. It's not the same.
Like doing front squats, right, Kirk? That Valsalva, you get going.
And you get asphyxiated in those porta potties. Nobody forget about that. Like, it ain't a pleasant place to be catching your breath.
A lot of particles floating around. Forget about that.
You get in and out. I had a real toilet. That's why it took longer. So. Mm.
I would request a bidet is what I would want.
Somebody would be there with a hose.
And I would just have it going the whole time I'm pooping so that I can just stop and go.
Going to put it to the test.
Yep.
Rich, are you done interviewing people for good? Is that what's going on or what?
I had Colin Stifer on. So it's going to be sporadic.
Stiefert. Is it Stifer?
I asked him and I now forget. He was like, it's fine. It's both. He's a very nice guy. He's like, it's fine either way. I'm like, no, I know it's not fine either way. I know you're saying that, but like, what is
it? See those bottoms, Rich.
Dude, look at these things. Like, cleats out there, dude.
What is the feel of them? Like the texture of the rubber?
That matters. It is textured. There's like little.
Is it hard rubber though, or is it a bit of soft?
Does it grab? Yeah.
I don't know.
But you're pushing on it, isn't it?
I don't know if it grabs. I'm gonna grab my hand.
I mean, like the rubber, is it a firm, hard rubber, like a Speed Goat, or is it softer, like, say...
Can your nail sink into it if you dig, like, your thumbnail into it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. And they are textured. So you think they're softer, it'll grab better, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like that plasticky, like slick feel.
Yeah, then you're looking at something different. So I think these are going to be good. And all the way through.
You're going to bring those, the RC Elite.
And then the Hyperion Tempo for my backup, my safety.
Safety net. Got to have a safety net.
I have a safety.
Do you see there a bunch of Europeans are running in the Pulsars?
No.
Yeah.
Hmm. You'll have to get up in some ears and get some.
It's not cushiony enough for me. Okay. It's a racing flat. That's all it is. The trail.
It's interesting. So no, I'm not done interviews. Had Colin on, but I probably won't do any interviews for a while after that. All right.
Okay.
Well, nice job. Next week we'll be here talking about what happened. Bracken and I were just going to go on and on about how great we did.
We're going to bloviate for 3 hours.
Nothing we're not used to.
All right. We'll talk to you guys.
Tune into the broadcast. OCR report.
OCR YouTube. Report. Doing broadcast. No watch along.
Yep.
I'm just going to be there.
They're also doing heckling. OCR report's also doing Deck of Fit Austin. They've got
in the morning.
Rylan, mm-hmm. Anas, Mark Gaudet, and someone else who I can't think of will be there.
Oh, you forgot about Riker. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect.
Good job, dude.
Oh, and it was better that it was not planned either.
And it was at the very end. He's probably like, oh, cool. Those dudes, you know, before. But no,
they didn't make fun of me this episode. Yeah.
No chance. Nope.
All right. What time's the broadcast, Bracken, for people that don't know?
Race starts at 1:30?
1:30 Central. Yeah.
Yeah, so probably Central. 1:15 Central. Tune in to YouTube OCR, the OCR report on YouTube.
I'm guessing Saturday. That will be in the morning for DECA. I'm not sure. I haven't caught those times. Well, cool. We got some hybrid races this weekend.
8 a.m.
Great, great, great. Pretty
good.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Go Birds. Whew. Feeling excited about that.
Sadly.
Plus 1.5. Birds are still favored. All right. We've talked enough. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.